When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Are we live? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Mike, you hear me? Why am I quiet? There it is. Okay. Getting it all set on my end. Weirdly quiet in my headphones. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going deaf. My friends, this is The Best Show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of The Best Show. You may know me from... That's perfect. Thank you. Studio always... Knowing he's quick with a turn of a knob, just like Piano Man, the Studio Man, right? Turning the knob, you're the Studio Man. Turn the knob tonight, 'cause we're all in the mood to hear the show, and you've got it sounding real tight. So, The Best Show, back, another Tuesday night. We've got an exciting show for you tonight. The topic, alternate realities. Alternate realities. That's the hashtag also. And for the first hour, I believe, we will only be talking to those more advanced in age. You know, Peepaw and Meemaw. So if you're sitting there, and I'll tell you this, you got your parents or your grandparents, you want to get them on the show, you do it successfully in this first hour. I'll give you a little prize later. I'll give you a prize. How about that? Give you a prize. But right now, my friends, I am going to tell you all about what? That's right. No. You don't know what I'm going to tell you about because I'm going to tell you about it right now. And the thing I'm going to tell you about is Mack Weldon. Now, what is Mack Weldon? First of all, Mack Weldon, how do you spell it? MackWeldon. That's how you spell it. And what you do is it's clothes, real nice stuff for dudes, socks and shirts and underwear and hoodies. And I wear this hoodie all the time, this Mack Weldon hoodie. It's all the live long day. I got socks. I got the hoodie. I got a t-shirt. This stuff is so nice and comfortable, and it's really well made. And the socks are super cool. And I'm telling you this, the designs, you can't beat it. And if you go there and you check out Mack Weldon, you know what? If you ain't into it, they'll refund you your money. No questions asked. The stuff's antimicrobial, looks cool if you're just out and about. I love it. Mack Weldon, MackWeldon.com. You go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off using that promo code BESTSHOW. Mack Weldon, you can't go wrong. Mack Weldon, get the cause, bruh. That's their new campaign. Get the cause, bruh. Tonight we will also be debuting, in addition to the topic, alternate realities, and talking to the folks of yesteryear, we call them. That's a polite way of calling them. Two songs. Islands, the band Islands, have two new albums coming out in May, and we are going to debut a song from each of them. The albums are great. So in this first set of music, we'll get one, and then later in the show, we'll get the other. So right now, I tell you, the best show is going to begin, and listen for the song by Islands coming up after the theme song. Wait, the theme song? What's the theme song? Well, this is the theme song. That's right. After this song, you're going to hear something from Islands. Best show.
Show. Yeah, you know that it's the best show. And it'll always Mr. Commissioner, why don't you retire? We're gonna burn it down. We're gonna burn it all down. Anything you wanna keep, otherwise go back to sleep. There's some things we don't wanna see.
Show back on a Tuesday night. Who doesn't love the best show? Well, actually, it's a pretty wide range of people who don't love it, but we love it, right? Right, guys? We love it. Oh, that's right. Crew out there loves it. AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and all the other guys out there, too. We should start a softball team, right? What do you think about that? Mike used to play softball a lot, right? No, I don't want those rummies. Mike's like, I'll bring the guys from Masses. Yeah, no thanks. Now, guys from Masses, God bless them, Mike, but I want this to be a best show softball team, right? Get me up there. Better bring a lot of balls, man. You get me up there. Be chasing them. A lot of moon shots, right? What do you think I'm good at in softball, Mike?
I was just trying to figure out what position.
I'm DH. I don't do the field. Yeah, I'm not doing the field, Mike. No. DH. Yeah. I'll hang back, watch you guys field. And bring me up like one of those lunkheads. Those lunkhead DHs. What must that feel like in baseball to be the designated hitter? You hang out in the... It's like a glorified version of like a kicker. It's like the ultimate kicker. In football, the kicker does one thing. In baseball, the designated hitter does one thing. You better just deliver when you do that one thing, man. But softball, bro, you watch me. I'll knock the seams off that thing. seams will come off it, Mike. You get ready. You better bring a bag of softballs, Mike. I'm going to be burning throwing. What we just heard music-wise, well, it's from Islands. Islands have two albums coming out. Two albums coming out in May. Taste and Should I Remain Here at Sea. We heard something from Taste. We just heard a song called The Joke. So good. Doesn't come out for another couple months. You got it here first. You want to find out about Islands, you go to islandsareforever.com. You can pre-order those records. Can't beat it, man. Best show world premiere. And we'll play another one later in the show from the other album. I'm going to start premiering stuff on this show. World premieres. What should our softball team be called, Mike? I don't know. What are you good at? Mike's a pitcher, right? Studio? Right field. Pat? Shortstop. And who else do we get for this thing? What is it gonna get? Avalanche Bob is gonna play second base? This team sucks. I'm not doing this. This sucks already. James, I'm gonna get it. Hey, James, would you mind catching for us? I want a team with some power. I'm going to have to go get some ringers. Start hanging out there. Got to bounce. I got to bounce Mike out of here. Just bring a guy in. Yeah, some just softball meathead. Call the best show next week.
Best show. Best show. Yeah, it's me, Lance.
So tonight we're talking about alternate realities. What are alternate realities? Well, you propose something one I think about a fair amount is if Kurt Cobain did not die. Think about what all that would have been. First thing that comes to mind are all the, he would have broken up Nirvana, first of all. Like, they probably would have done one more album. They already would have done multiple, like, reunion shows, like,
original lineup, it's the Nevermind lineup, is back.
There'd be no Foo Fighters. I don't think Foo Fighters would have gotten, I think Dave Grohl would have probably taken a job just drumming for somebody. And transitioned into that. So think of all the music we would have been denied. Monkey Wrench, right? All my life I've been looking for something. This guy's, it's like, those Foo Fighter records are like the musical equivalent of like a car chase in a movie. That's what they sound like. There was, all my life I've been looking for something. Like it's always, mid-range city. The bass sounds like a guitar. The guitar sounds like a voice. Everybody's just playing the same thing. On Twitter, somebody's saying Kurt Cobain would have ended up joining the Foo Fighters. Because you know he would have done like a bad solo album. Like Kurt Cobain would have done like a bad acoustic solo album. Like his worst instincts would have come out on that. Yeah. Nirvana would have, he would have broken up Nirvana, then they would have gotten back, he would have turfed out. Probably him and Courtney Love would have split up. That'd be a whole thing, them fighting publicly. Then Nirvana get back together, record another album. Do I think that Nirvana could have ever ended up with a horn section? Let me think about that. In any version of like the reformed, like there would have been a version of Nirvana with no original members except Kurt Cobain. Like that is a certainty that it would have just been him. It would have become, Nirvana would have become like the Pretenders, the way with Chrissy Hynde, the way she would just clean house and then keep, like Martin Chambers doesn't even play on the records. Like, first of all, this somebody just obligatory Courtney Love diss. First of all, it's not a Courtney Love diss. I'm saying they would have broken up. I'd rather listen to Courtney Love, the whole records, than Nirvana records. First of all, bub. Think I'd rather listen to those records? I'd rather listen to Celebrity Skin and Live Through This than any of those. The only Nirvana record I like Bleach, and I like this single, Sliver. After that, they started sounding like Boston. Nevermind sounds like a Kansas album. Right? You with me, Mike? No, Mike's not with me. Well, it does. Trust me. Sounds like Foghat. I don't think I've ever listened to Nevermind straight through in one sitting. I really don't think I did have. It's got good songs. But you know what? You know what also has good songs on it? Like a Weezer album has good songs on it too. The Third Eye Blind album has two good songs on it. Putting a good song together, not so hard, man. I could write some good songs. Wait, what's the topic again tonight? Alienate the entire audience? No. So I just don't like this guy thing. Like, he says he doesn't even like Courtney Love. I like Courtney Love. Celebrity Skin, that's one of the best songs ever. Bon out, bon out, bon out. Will make me over. Right? I'm all I wanna be. That's a good song. She writes good songs. So yeah, so Nirvana would have just been, like, Kurt Cobain would have been just bouncing all around. He probably would have done an album with, one of those, like, him and Eddie Vedder would have ended up doing an album together, like a tour. They would have done a tour together like the two Van Halen singers when it was like Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth when they did that tour together. There would have been a good tour of those two guys together. Like Eddie Vedder leaves Pearl Jam. Kurt Cobain breaks up Nirvana. The two of them end up on a tour. I guess he would probably end up playing with like, who's like a, who would Kurt Cobain end up playing with? I want to go to the phones, but I think it's all oldies on the phone. They ain't going to be able to help me with this. They'll be able to help me if I'm talking about Artie Shaw. Best Show.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the Best Show. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Washington Hill. Sarasota, Florida.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
What's going on tonight down in Sarasota?
Well, the Girl Scouts are still selling these cookies.
They're They're selling the cookies, the Girl Scouts?
Yes, the Girl Scout cookies. You know, I think a lot of the country is on overload from the Girl Scout cookies, because I took my grandkids around on Sunday to sell some cookies, and the nice people bought them, but they didn't really need them. Mm-hmm. And then we tell them that you can freeze them up, and they say, I already got some in the freezer. So I think maybe next year the Girl Scouts need to have just a few less cookies.
So you're ready for some sort of Girl Scout cookie rollback.
Exactly. I mean, you see them at Publix, at Winn-Dixie. You see them outside churches. I mean, come on. I've got about 7 boxes in my garage right now if anybody wants them.
So you're allowed. It's not some mandatory thing, though. You're allowed to just not partake in the cookie purchasing.
Yeah, but then the little girls, you know, they're all dressed up in their cute little outfits, and you know, they start to get the impression that your granddaddy just doesn't care about them, so you buy another 5 boxes.
Oh, I got you. Like you feel the pressure of it.
Yes, and I went to my neighbors, and it was a nice sunny afternoon. Half of them were at a beach. The other half said, well, I got Girl Scout cookies. I said, well, go ahead and buy another box for my grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just buy another box. You're like, please, buy another box.
Put them in the freezer.
Yeah. You're really having a hard time here with these Girl Scout cookies.
Well, you know, and then you have them in your car, and then it's warm down here. And next thing you know, they melt, and they got a whole big mess of Girl Scout cookies. So I just think that what you said, they need to roll back next year. Maybe they should sell them for less time and less money, and then maybe they'll sell more of them.
I like it. I like it. You're doing something about a problem.
Well, that's why my son had me call in, because if people don't, you know, call in and express their feelings, then next year they're going to have twice as many Girl Scout cookies in a longer period of time.
Yes. I got you, Washington, loud and clear. What is your son's name?
My son is Nathan Hill.
Is he a good guy?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And where does he live?
He lives up there in Harlem.
Okay. And he told you to call?
He told me to call and express my feelings, and as I was waiting to get on, I said, I need to talk about the Girl Scout cookies.
Well, I got to tell you, you're giving a fresh perspective on things that I have not thought about. We don't have them over. They're not being shoved in our faces everywhere up here like they are down there.
Then I'll send my grandkids up there.
You'll send them up with the Girl Scout cookies.
Absolutely.
All right. Look. What now? Look, I have a couple people who work on this show, sir. Who they're like. There's a young guy named Mike who screens calls on this show, and he's just a kid looking for some guidance in life. Like he's lost. He's very confused. The way that kids can be confused. What would be some advice you'd give him?
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In life, what's just a piece of advice you would give this young fella, Mike, who works on the show?
Think hard when you make your decisions. Some of the decisions you make are going to be good ones, and some of the decisions you make are not going to be so good. But think hard about those decisions. And the last thing is, sometimes things don't go your way. And you don't get the job, and you don't get the position that you want.
Oh, boy.
But somehow, it all works out.
Somehow, it all works out.
Absolutely.
All right. That is fantastic advice, sir. I appreciate you calling.
I will have to give that same advice to my son.
Is okay, first trimester?
What?
I will have to give that same advice to my son, Nate.
Yes. Nate, you heard that. Sometimes think hard about those decisions, and sometimes it doesn't go your way.
Good talking to you.
Thank you for calling, sir. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
That's a nice guy, right? See, I'm just tired of the same drip callers, man. Best show.
Hey, Tom, this is Steve. I'm here with my mom.
Steve, you're here with your mom. Okay, let's talk to your mom. I'm already bored with you.
I'm sorry. Here's my mom.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hi, Jean. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Now, Jean, Steve, he's a nice young guy.
He's nice. I don't know if he's all that young.
Uh-huh. And where are you, Jean, in America? Where are you?
Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay, Indiana, the heartland.
Yes.
The
Midwest.
You've got the Indiana Pacers.
IU.
John Mellencamp.
Yes.
Bobby Knight, the giant statue of Bobby Knight, the 200-foot-high statue of Bobby Knight.
Well, he's not here anymore.
He's not?
No.
I heard.
He's not. Hasn't been the coach for a long time.
No, I know you. I heard that the giant 200-foot statue comes to life some nights. I heard that the eyes glow. And that it throws a giant 80-foot chair at people.
Well, yeah, that could happen.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
That would, yes.
Now, Gene, truthfully speaking, when Steve was a young lad and would get out of line, did you ever send him out to pick a switch?
No.
And then you would thrash him with it?
No. His worst punishment was sitting in the corner by the buffet facing the wall so he couldn't destroy anything. And he'd have to sit there for a while.
Sitting in the corner by the what?
By a wall, like there was like a buffet, you know, and a stone wall, and he had to sit facing the wall.
Oh, I thought you said at the buffet you'd make him sit and stare at the wall. I was like,
he stared at the wall. He was between the stone planter, the buffet, and he was looking at a wall. Mm-hmm. That way he was confined. He couldn't do anything.
Sure.
He couldn't destroy anything. He could go anywhere.
So he was a destructive kid.
Not really, but, you know. He had his moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, he sounds like an all right guy.
He is. He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Now, Gene, there's a young guy named Mike who works on this show. He's a young lad, just with all of his future ahead of him.
Okay.
What advice would you give somebody like Mike in terms of how to live life that you've learned through your wisdom?
Have fun.
He doesn't need that advice. Don't worry. That's taken care of.
Okay, well then, work, you know, try to do your best.
Uh-huh.
But have fun.
Work, okay, that's good advice. So find the balance.
Yes, work-life balance, yes.
Okay. Well, Gene, I appreciate you calling so much, and you call anytime you want. If you want to, here's another question. What burns you up? What's burning you up right now, Gene?
Okay. I'm unhappy because they're going to tear up the road to extend I-69
mm-hmm.
where I live, and it's going to make it hard for me to get to my Silver Sneakers classes.
And Silver Sneakers is an exercise program?
Yeah, exercise for us old people.
Okay. Well, hopefully they fix the road so you can get to your silver sneakers classes without much of a headache.
Yes, I hope so.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Jean. You were fantastic.
Bye.
Bye. One more here. Let's go to this one. I'm being told to go to this caller. Hello. Welcome to the best show.
Thank you.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
My name's Karen Gore.
Oh, good heavens. I know who it is. You, correct me if I'm wrong. Can I call you Karen?
Sure.
Karen, you are the mother of the one and only Dudio, Jason.
Yes, I am.
Now, how old was he when he got the nickname Dudio?
Gosh, well...
Was he like 5?
I think you named him that.
What?
Didn't you name him that?
No, he told me it was a childhood nickname.
Oh, no.
He was bragging.
He was Slaw Dog. He was Slaw Dog back then.
Wait, hold on a second. What was his nickname?
Slaw Dog.
Slaw Dog, like coleslaw?
Coleslaw.
Oh, boy. Well, he used to be called Dudio. Now he's known as Slaw Dog. Yes. Sorry, Slaw Dog. Hey, Slaw Dog, how do I lower the... I don't even want to know why his nickname was Slaw Dog. I don't even know.
I don't even know how he got it.
That's between you and Slaw Dog. Now, Mrs. Mama Dudio, can I call you that?
Sure.
You have an exciting night ahead of you, don't you?
I do. I'm standing right in front of David Crosby's bus right now.
Oh, my God. That sounds, 30 years ago, that would have been a different kind of exciting night. That would probably
yes,
mean
would.
You would be going to a facility for a while to get your act together for a couple months.
You're right.
But you're going to see David Crosby in concert tonight.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. I saw Graham Nash last fall, so
okay.
David Crosby tonight.
So you're piecing them together one by one.
Well, pretty much now, because I hear that they're kind of not happy with each other.
Yeah. You know who I heard that from? Slaw Dog told me that.
Did Slaw Dog. Actually, my daughter told me that, too. So I guess it runs in the family.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to go see David Crosby tonight. Are you going to yell out requests?
No, I probably won't. He'll probably play everything that I want to hear.
You should yell out Our House, which he doesn't do, right? Wouldn't that be funny if you just started yelling out Graham Nash songs?
Oh, God.
Marrakesh Express. Marrakesh Express.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
No, well, look, I know you have a busy night ahead of you. I don't want to slow you down anymore. I appreciate you calling in, and you call in anytime you want. I want to say this in all seriousness. Your son is a fantastic person, and I am privileged to call him a friend, and everybody who enjoys this show would not be happening if it was not for his hard work. So.
Aww, that's
did a
so
great
good for
job.
A mother to hear.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You did
that's
a great
awesome.
Job raising Slaw Dog.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that didn't work out the way you thought it would there, huh? Huh? Slaw Dog? I'm being told if I thought that was something to go to this next line... Apparently, the show has taken a very interesting new turn. Best show, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to somebody that's older than dirt.
Somebody?
And my son works with you. Michael.
Oh. Oh, no. Let me see if I can figure this out. Is your son Your son is not Mike.
Yes.
Wait, this is Mike's father?
Yes.
Oh,
so
my
you
goodness.
No, as old as Mike is, that I got to be older than dirt.
Oh, stop it. Now, Mike is something else, right?
Yeah, I know. We couldn't convert him. He had to stay in Bayonne.
You couldn't get him out of Bayonne?
No.
Well, he's Bayonne to the core.
He's the only one. All six of us came down here, and Michael couldn't get away from Bayonne.
We're not going to say where here is, though. I don't want that's your business. Now, sir, Mike is I got to say this. I've been doing this show. Does Mike tell you what this show is, first of all?
No, he doesn't tell me too much about it.
He doesn't tell you too much about it. Well, allow me to tell you about what Mike does here. He basically is producing the show behind the scenes. He screens all the phone calls coming in. He's like the conductor of that behind the scenes and keeps the flow going so that bad callers don't get on and good callers get through.
Well, I'm glad he thought of me as one of the good callers.
Yeah, yeah. He actually wants to say something to you now. Here he comes.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Dad, what's up? Hey, Dad.
He's been telling me that for so long now. He don't even come down anymore.
What's up? There's no more Coors here, Dad. We ran out. He just left. We ran out of Coors tonight, and he's having a little bit of a panic attack.
Oh.
So he's breathing into a bag, into a paper bag.
Is he still parking across the street where he got his ticket?
Yes. He got a ticket and then fought it. And then he was talking all about the ticket that he fought and won the case. You'd think it was you would think it was like Turk 182. Remember that movie where the guy fought the system?
Like, no, I haven't watched the movie since Mary Poppins. I think was the last one. I'm not into that stuff, but I do remember that, but he was even luckier on another ticket.
Yeah, he beats ticket.
The cop gave him a ticket with the wrong name on it.
Yeah, no, it seems like maybe he was put on this earth to beat
tickets.
Now, tell me one thing, Mike's father, about what's a fun, without being embarrassed, we don't want to embarrass, like, I don't want to know, God forbid he had an embarrassing nickname, I don't want to know it, I don't want to know, but what's like, because this is my opinion of Mike, he's one of the smartest, well-read people I've ever met, and he can talk about so much about so many different subjects, he's a very smart guy. Was that how he always was?
He was always smart.
Yeah.
And the other thing, he was my best pitcher on our little league team.
Wow. That's funny because we were just talking about putting a softball team together, and I know Mike is a good pitcher.
And baseball. That's right. He was playing softball and pitching over in Brooklyn someplace.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Do you remember giving him his first Coors Light? Do you remember that moment?
No.
No?
I'd like to kill him for the first one.
Oh, no. I'm not touching that one.
You better stop on that.
Yeah. No, that one stays between you guys. But Mike is such a... I want to say this to you, sir. Mike is really a great guy, and he's somebody I've been doing this show with for so long, and he's a good friend, and you did a fantastic job raising a really good guy.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And you call anytime you want.
Okay.
All right. Have a great night.
You too. too.
Oh, my goodness. What line should I go to next? Five. Best show.
Yes. Hi, this is Pat's mom.
This is Pat's mom.
Yeah.
I just went. So we talked to Dudio. Well, it's not Dudio anymore. It's Slaw Dog. We talked to his mom.
Okay.
Then we talked to AP Mike's dad, and now we're talking to Pat Burns' mom.
Mom. Uh-huh.
Yes. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom?
I'm good.
Good?
Yes. Now, Pat is a good guy also. I guess we have a lot of good guys working here. That's one of the fun things about this show.
That's good.
What was a young Pat like? What was a young Pat like?
Young Pat, he was a little shy.
A little shy?
Yeah, but he's always a good kid.
So he seems like a very good kid.
Really kind, gentle, you know?
Sure.
Really caring about everybody else.
Yes, and very creative also. He's very creative.
And he's still the same.
Sure, and he's always very artistic also.
Very artistic, very creative. Yeah.
Do you ever listen to his radio show on WFMU?
Yes, of course.
Are you ever just surprised by that's him?
Sometimes I'm shocked.
Yeah, because he's so...
Yeah, he's very talented. I shouldn't say that, but...
Well, it's fine.
I'm his mom.
Yeah. And do you know what he used to... Did you know he used to call the best show? Did you know about that?
No. What was that?
Well, this show is the best show. And we met because he started calling it because he would do art projects with friends of his and then would talk about them. And then that's how I got to know him. And then he got involved with WFMU and then we became friends.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
I love to listen to WFMU.
And he's doing his fundraiser now. Did you give money to his show?
I'm sorry?
Did you donate to his show yet?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I spread the word to all my friends, too.
Yeah.
So they can donate. Yeah.
He's got a show this Saturday, and everybody listening should donate to – they should donate to WFMU in general. It's their fundraising marathon.
Right.
But in particular, give to during Pat's show on Saturday nights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. What's a funny thing about Pat that I might not without embarrassing him? I don't want to, because God for look, a worst case scenario would be if you told me some horrifying childhood nickname he had. I wouldn't want to know it.
He's just a very polite kid, you know.
He is. Yes. He is. He's a very polite kid. He's very.
Yeah. We ask you permission to fart.
Okay.
That's a funny thing about him.
All right. So now I see where Pat gets a sense
of humor. That's what he gets for putting me on the radio.
Yeah, that's what he gets, that he asks permission to fart. Now, yes, Pat is a good guy, and Pat's mom... I want to thank you so much for raising such a good...
Oh, you're welcome.
You raised such a good guy.
This is all in good fun.
It is all in good fun, yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Look, we're not here to talk about the other things Pat does.
Oh, like, no. I wouldn't say them.
I'm not going to talk about
it. No.
I'm not going to talk. Look, we both know he sells fake IDs to high school kids. We're not going to talk about that. That's not
meant for the
air, right?
Absolutely. No, I won't say anything like that, no.
I'm not going to
talk about those things.
I'm not going to talk about the shoplifting. There's no place in the public
show
for that.
Drunk driving and all the tickets he got for getting in trouble with the law.
And the gun he sold me last week. I'm not. Wait, I just did say that on the air. Oh, no. No, Pat's a good guy. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, he
is. You did a great job, Mom.
Oh, thank you. He wanted me to get on the radio. I said, okay, I'll do that.
And now he's wondering.
He said, well, Tommy's just going to make fun of me.
I bet you he could take that back. I bet you probably wishes he could take it.
He can take it.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling, Mom.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much.
Have a fantastic night.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. How you feeling, guys, out there?
I feel pretty good. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Who would have thought If Mike's father, Jason's mother, and Pat's mother called up, who would have thought that Mike would have skated with ease surpassed the two of them in terms of getting humiliated by their parents on the air. I would have thought I was so ready for Mike's father to sink Mike and then suddenly I'm like, you know what it was? You know what it is, Mike? The guy's got Bayonne in his blood. He knows, don't say too much. You play it close to the vest. I'm not going to sell my kid out on the radio. He didn't say two things. He implied things. He let me say things, and then he went, yeah. Like, Mike's a smart guy. Yeah, he is. Like, but he's got that sense of that in where he's not, but these other two, oh boy, Pat's mom and then Slaw Dog's mom, boy, they did not hold back. Who's in pain out there? They're both groaning out there. And Mike is on cloud nine. Oh my God, that was funny. Thank you guys for making that happen. And you want to know what you, the best show listener, should make happen? Well, I'm going to tell you. Once this computer loads up. Why does it do this? Every week it's an episode of Tron up in here. I gotta download the master control program. Remember in Tron when the master control program challenged him to do battle on the game grid? Well, my friends, I want to tell you, shaving. You got a face, you got to shave. That's one thing about this crew here. It's a clean-shaven group. Pat's got a little fuzz on his face, but he's not walking around like a mountain man. Mike is clean-shaven. Slaw Dog's clean-shaven. I am. So you know what you need to get that nice clean shave? You need a top quality razor. And that's where Harry's.com comes in. I buy these razors. I carve my face up. It's a giant mess. You connect the dots with the scrapes on my face. Walking around. Bloodied. It's like I'm auditioning for the Andrew WK album cover. I'm doing like a home kit version of that. But with Harry's, man, you don't get into that. That is a company that has both amazing quality and low prices. That is the important thing with them. They don't skimp on either end of it. They don't brutalize you with the cost, but they make sure the quality is top notch. German-engineered five-blade cartridges, close, comfortable shaves, no cuts or burns. Quality is guaranteed, and a full refund if you're not happy. And these prices, these are factory direct prices. They cut out the middleman, and they ship the razors right to your door, selling you the blades at half the price of the leading brands. Over 1 million guys have already made the switch, and thousands more are joining the cause every day. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half price at Harry's.com? The Harry's Starter Set is an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. Harry's does not discount because their prices are already low, but they've worked out a special deal just for you, the Best Show listener. They'll give you $5 off your first order with promo code BESTSHOW. Stop overpaying for a great shave. Go to Harry's.com right now. That's Harry's.com. Enter best code at checkout. Offer code best show at checkout. Thank you to Harry's for sponsoring the best show. alternate realities. That's what we're talking about. So many different ones. Oh boy, looking over at, Slaw Dog seems to have captured America. Yeah. You know you're in trouble when H-Man is ripping on you. H-Man's throwing Slaw Dog around. Like, you know you're on the wrong end of a beating when H-Man's rubbing it in your face, Jason. Best show.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
It's going good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Will in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Will in Knoxville, Tennessee. Knoxville is a fantastic city.
Oh, thanks.
How long have you lived in Knoxville?
I'm coming up on 15 years.
15 years in Knoxville. And what brought you to Knoxville, Will?
My friends needed a roommate, and I lived in Nashville, and I was sick of it. So I thought I'd take a stab at Knoxville for a while, and I ended up staying.
You like it?
It's cool. It's cheap.
Nashville's a good city, but you got tired of it?
Yeah, it wasn't like it is now, and I'm not trying to badmouth Nashville, but it's all fine, but it's not really for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like little L.A., kind of.
A little too show busy?
Yeah, weird vibes.
Yeah. A lot of phony balonies walking around in cowboy hats, right?
Yeah. I wish I could wear a cowboy hat like that, but it just doesn't work.
I can't either. I look dumb in any hat. Any hat I look stupid in.
Yeah, I can only wear a functional winter hat, and that's it.
I can't wear a hat. I look so stupid every time I try a hat on. One looks worse than the next. Bad news. They don't work for some people, I guess, right?
It's good, though. Everybody's got to have their thing. Those hat people may not be able to,
do what we
do. Bring the laughs like you do, man.
Well, thank you. That's a sweet way of putting it, Will. I appreciate that.
Well, I would honestly probably be out of work if it wasn't for the best show. I listen to it live when I can. Sometimes Tuesdays are busy nights, but always listen to them repeatedly at work and... And at least keeps me there, so keeps me out of trouble,
Well, that's fantastic. How did you find the show, Will?
It was through your interview on WTF, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, it was cool. It's been a few years, but I still got a lot of catching up to do.
Cool. Will, what burns you up? What burns you up down there in Knoxville? what gets your goat?
Oh, I don't know. I try to just, stay positive.
That's
not
right.
let it get me down,
Good.
That's
the right attitude.
PMA.
That's that Tennessee attitude, right?
Yeah.
What's some music you like down there in Tennessee? Anybody you like?
Yeah, there's all kinds of great stuff. I could name my friends' bands and stuff, but there's a lot of good bands around. Trying to think of Faux Ferocious. They're from Nashville, and they're super awesome.
Okay, I don't know them.
Yeah, they're good news.
All right.
Good news, fun times.
I gotcha. All right, Will, look, I appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I do have one for the topic.
Yes.
Okay, what if Owsley Stanley just said, I left my tape recorder, or whatever, and didn't record that first Dead show that he decided to record or whatever. I'm not a Grateful Dead person.
Could you imagine?
I don't know. But what if he did not record that and maybe not have jam band tape culture?
That's true. Because give me the background on this. Owsley Stanley, who is the guy who made LSD.
Yeah, now he did that, but he also did this other thing.
Where he was the first guy to roll tape on a Dead show?
Yeah, he was their sound man.
Okay. So he was their sound man, and he just started rolling. He started recording all the shows.
Yeah. As far as somebody, that's the story I've always heard, and I've done a mild amount of fact-checking. So it looks like that's what was happening.
Can you imagine how much better a place the world would be without the Grateful Dead?
Wow.
Let's think of what that would be like. Without the Grateful Dead in the world, because the culture would not have bloomed the way it would. They would just be like any other. They would have been like Jefferson Airplane then.
Yeah.
Without some basic cult of trash following them like a garbage bag caught in a breeze, like in the wake of a filthy wind, right?
Yeah. Right?
Like an unhygienic breeze. They're just the detritus and skin flakes. Right?
Would the Grateful Dead have their version of a starship? Would that have happened?
Yes, that is what would have happened. The Grateful Dead, because they also are wildly unoriginal and bad at making actual records. Like, if they didn't have this live thing in their back pocket, they would have just been forced to, like, compete with actual studio recordings the way every other band was forced to.
Ooh.
And they would have been, like, unmasked as being third rate.
Yeah.
So then they would have watched Jefferson Airplane become Jefferson Starship, right? Then what would they have become, Mike? What would the Grateful Dead have rebranded themselves as? These guys would have probably called themselves like something dumb, like the Pet Rocks or something. Like something like, you figure around like 75, these guys start, branding themselves. Like, they would have just changed their thing and tried to be super 70s. Yeah. That would have been, and they would have run out of gas. It wouldn't have happened.
It sounds great. Sounds like a really nice.
So if
idea.
That guy, didn't Owsley, if he didn't roll tape on the band that he was working for, he could have ended this generations of just law. Those people, think of what the American workforce could have been if those people were like focused and like contributed to society instead of like coming to your town and selling grilled cheese sandwiches with herpes on them. Well, you will. I got to say, that is a home run right there. I'm going to keep talking.
Thank you.
We'll keep considering that one all night. Thank you, buddy.
Awesome. Have a good night.
You too. Good guy. Good guy. Think about it, Mike. The Grateful Dead. If it didn't happen, none of this would have been going on. We would have stopped all of it, right? Think of what San Francisco could have been. Best show.
Hi, how's it going, Tom? I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
My question was...
First of all, bro, what's your name?
My name is John. I'm calling from Long Island.
John from Long Island. Where on Long Island?
Do you want town or county? What are we?
Yeah, whatever you're comfortable with.
I'm comfortable with the town. I'm representing Lindenhurst.
What are you representing?
Lindenhurst.
Lindenhurst.
Home of the Bulldogs.
The Lindenhurst Bulldogs. Oh,
indeed.
No. The proud, fighting Lindenhurst Bulldogs.
Right. They say that the Bulldog is the Eagles' natural predator around here, because that is our rival town.
Wait. A Bulldog and an Eagle are natural enemies?
Yes.
That's the most made-up thing I've ever heard.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I could see if it was like an Eagle and a dog, like it would just be like any dog.
Right.
Like if eagles had a beef with dogs,
It's
not like an eagle isn't going to go fight a dog because it's not a bulldog.
Right. you're very correct on that.
Please tell the people in your community, tighten it up.
that's about the fourth thing they have to worry about around here. But I digress.
And what's the other thing you got to worry about? Billy Joel driving his car around at night?
He is a North Shore person, and there's a great divide on this island between North Shore and South Shore.
You ever worry about, what is this guy saying?
Billy Joel is from the North Shore of Long Island, and there's kind of class war, if that makes sense.
So you look at him, who do you hold up against Billy Joel then?
Ironically, Pat Benatar is from this town of Lindenhurst, so he was our local hero.
So you guys idolize Pat Benatar.
Amongst a few other people. The father from the Wonder Years is also from our town.
The guy.
Dan Loria.
Yeah, Dan Loria.
Right.
The father from the Wonder Years. So you've got Pat Benatar, Dan Loria.
Hal Hartley, director.
The director, sure.
And that's about it. A couple of local hardcore bands, and that's as far as we get.
That's a pretty good lineup there.
It's not the worst. I'm not complaining, believe me.
So what do you got for the topic, buddy?
It's a little sports-oriented. My question is, if O.J. Simpson in 1994 had turned himself into police on the morning of Game 5, do you think that affects the outcome and the Knicks end up winning the NBA championship that year?
No, I don't think that the O.J. thing impacted the Knicks playing.
I was always under the assumption that someone let something loose to the bench and everyone kind of caught wind of that.
Yeah, but why
I was also 11 years old at the time. So.
Yeah, why wouldn't that affect both teams?
Right. And then the other question is also in that year, Dolan takes over ownership of the Knicks, and where do you see the Knicks if he never owned the team?
Well, it would be better than it is now.
Right.
And there would be a lot less, there would be a lot more championships and a lot less blues rock.
That's for certain.
It's all quiet. I think all three of them left. Okay, there they are. They got super quiet out there. I think they're all like not looking at each other after the parents called. They're just like, cause like they brought that on themselves. And then now Mike's the only one who's like, Mike skated in that. I would have thought that Mike, that would have been one where Mike would have been like, how could you do that to me? And my father. I started doing the impression of Mike to his father. He didn't take the bait on that at all. He didn't care. He just didn't care. Mike's dad is a cool guy, and he just did not care. He's like... Then these other two, they got the nickname and the permission to fart and all this other stuff. Oh, boy. They got pelted on that. So, the Knicks, I think the Knicks, if James Dolan didn't buy the team, they would be infinitely, they would have won. James Dolan would have ended up doing what? Probably, maybe chasing after his dream with JD in the straight shot.
Busking out in the street.
He would have gone all the way. He would have played outside Madison Square Garden. He'd be outside there playing right now, hoping to get attention.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Best show.
Hey, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Caroline from Charlotte.
Caroline from Charlotte.
Yes.
What's up, Caroline?
Well, I have a topic for the alternate realities, and Dudio's mother gave me an idea for another one, which is Sam Peckinpah's Slaw Dogs, about a competitive eating team. But my original idea was there was a rumor for a long time that the members of the Beatles were the residents, and I was wondering what it would have been like if that were true.
If that were true.
Yes.
That would be, so that would mean that the Beatles were saying, this Beatles thing is kind of too big for us.
Yes.
we need to express ourselves, and we're going to pretend to be this art, this Bay Area art band.
Right.
And I do want to say that on Twitter, Bayonne Baracus, I like that name, by the way, he's saying that if James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, didn't buy the Knicks, he would have ended up joining the Eagles. He might have bought his way into the Eagles. I could see that.
The band or the football team?
The band. He would have replaced Don Felder in the Eagles. Didn't that one dude in the Eagles murder, like, isn't there, like, accusations that the one dude, like, killed his wife or something?
Yeah, didn't that just happen?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Eagles. That California, like, that easygoing California stuff, man, runs right under the surface. Rage. Endless rage.
The most scene of music you can imagine.
Yeah, from those guys. Hey, man, I'm just out to have a good time. It's just good time music. Just sit back, relax, and the thing. Then you give the guy the margarita without the salt on the rim, and next thing you know, you're getting smashed over the head by his guitar. Right under the surface, a bottomless pit of rage from those guys.
It's like if brain bombs were real and not just an act.
Yes. Yes. Wait, what, brain bombs? What?
Yeah. The band Brain Bomb.
Oh, the band. See, that's what I thought you were talking about. I was like, oh, this is cool. She mentioned the band The Brain Bombs, who were what? Where were they? Like from, where were they from again? The Netherlands?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and they have, you know, a lot of song titles I would not sully your show with.
Can't say them on the air. But they would be, but that band would, like, lay it out with that stuff and say what they are all about. The Eagles are saying just like Tequila Sunrise. But then meanwhile, their songs are just black and red. Black anger and red violent rage under the easygoing thing. The Eagles are like the Yankees in a lot of, you're right? Like, being an Eagles fan is like being a fan of the Yankees. It's like you've picked, like, it's like the way you root for the Lakers. When the Lakers are winning, that's like being an Eagles fan.
Right, just because, like, the surface is so happy.
And it's just,
it's
like,
so energetic.
Yeah, it's all a good time, and we're just all winning. Yeah, nothing worse than an L.A. winner, man, I tell you. So if the Beatles decided they needed to express themselves and pretend to be this Bay Area art band, The Residents.
Right.
I bet you they would have at some point then realized that they were putting too much energy into The Residents and then channel it back into the Beatles. What do you think? You think that would?
I think so, and I think that their creative work in The Residents probably would have influenced their Beatles work.
Yeah, but Paul McCartney would not have been able to, like, keep his mouth shut on that. Because he's always doing these things where it's like, it's a thing, it's Percy Thrillington, and it's a thing, it's a side band, and he can't help but then say, it's actually me.
He would have been so proud of Eskimo and wanted to tell everyone.
Yes, he would have. He would have spilled the beans on it. That's what would have happened. He wouldn't have been able to resist teasing that it's actually the Beatles.
He would take his eyeball hat off at the end.
Yeah.
No, he's always, everybody.
He's always scratching his nose. You ever notice that? This Paul McCartney. God love him. God love him. He's always scratching his nose in interviews. Right? Never saw a guy touch his nose more than this guy.
Riley Wiggins in Dazed and Confused.
Like that. Like a baseball manager doesn't touch his nose to give signals to the pitcher as much as this dude touches his nose. Always touching his nose.
It's a comfort.
I guess
it
is.
It's a comfort when you're being interviewed.
I agree. What's that? Mike is saying, yeah, like Richie and Vine. He didn't admit to being Thrillington until 89. He still mentioned it, though. Who do you think recorded this instrumental version of the Ram album? Who do you think did that?
It was
someone else? All right. Thank you for
the call. John Spencer did Exile on Main Street.
Well, Pussy Galore did Exile on Main Street. John
Spencer. I didn't know if I was allowed to say.
Bown out! Right?
Yeah.
Bown out! Do you like John Spencer?
I'm more Bown into out. Royal Trucks, but yeah.
Can't go wrong with either one, though. Right? Yeah. I love all of it.
My degenerate Who's on the line? Your mother's friends back? Down here.
Studio's mother is on the line. Studio just handed me a note. His mother, Slaw Dog's mother, is on the line. She has six more stories she wants to tell.
Well, I'll have to let you go
and
for
she's
that.
She's telling them to David Crosby. David Crosby is going to, she wants to tell them to us and David Crosby.
Man.
Well, thank you for the call, Carolyn. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Bye. Best show.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
These are the Walliners. The
oh, no.
H-Man.
Oh,
Mac,
boy.
Wally and Amazing Jason.
An amazing, oh, sir, we have met before. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, yes. I am also the one that took umbrage at your use of the word googly when referring to my visual condition.
What? When did I say that?
Wally Wackerman, I think, was actually talking about, and we're talking about his googly eye.
Yeah.
And I happen to have a googly eye. Well, actually, it's called strabismus.
Well, you might want to take that up with Wally Wackerman.
I've tried. It's very difficult.
Now, I want to say this, sir, Mr. Walliner. You are a great man. You are responsible for three of the greatest guys I have the pleasure of calling friend. Well, two of them are friends. One is, no, I'm kidding. That's just a joke. I'm joking. I know I'm going to hear all about that joke. All three of you are friends. I'm friends with all three. I love all three of you.
Now I'm trying to think of which two of them.
What about me?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to you yet.
Okay.
Mom, how are you?
I actually was a little sick today, but I'm good. I'm staying up just because we were told you wanted parents to call in, and yes, we are parents, so here we are.
I did, and now I want to say your three children are all a joy. I love all three of them. You got H-Man, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Who is one of the sweetest. One of the sweetest. He's got the biggest heart of almost of anybody I've ever met.
Yes, I would agree with that, actually. I would agree with that.
Then you've got Zach, Z-Man, he calls himself. He is a super creative guy who is a really, he's got so much passion for the things he creates. And he puts so much of himself into them. Like he's got this, I don't know if you guys know, he's got this puppet, Wally Wacky Man. And he made this puppet and he put everything into it and you can just feel it coming through. And it's that's what makes it work is this, that he puts the everything into it. And that's why I care about him so much.
Yes. And then, that's why he cares about you and they listen to you, in the car going up to Red Hook and coming back and it's like the joy of joys.
Yes.
That was the thing that really fulfilled their trip. They're like, we get to listen to Tom again.
Oh, that's sweet. Now, give me one thing about, and then, of course, last but not least, Jason, who is absolute one of the most special people to me in my life. And I don't know what I would do without him. Can't speak highly enough. Am I dying or something with this show? I feel like I'm doing a eulogy for myself tonight. Like, this is my farewell? Am I checking out?
No, that's not what's happening. You're really giving us a boost, and I definitely need one about now.
So, Mom, give me one thing about H-Man, about Harry, that is a special, without embarrassing him.
I'm going to give you one thing right exactly from today.
Oh.
Okay, so I was home, and he didn't know I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I went down to check the mail, and there's a whole other story with that. But I went out to check the mail, and there was this red envelope, and it was from Harry, and I opened it up, and it was a Valentine's Day card. Mm-hmm. And it was the absolute sweetest note I'd gotten. And I'm thinking, like, that was a month ago.
Yeah.
And it turned out he was here in between, but he forgot to pack it. Yeah. So he actually mailed it to me, and this couldn't have been a better day for me to receive it.
Oh.
And the words he put in were, like, astounding and so heartwarming, made me feel...
Oh, well, that's awesome, but it is completely to be expected with a great guy like H-Man. Now, you know that Z-Man, on the side, he sells fake IDs and knives to high school kids, right? And is that a thing that you guys are not happy with? I mean, I don't know where you stand on that he sells weapons to high school children.
You know, you actually have just been the informant.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. I thought you knew about this. Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Z-Man.
He generally shares a lot of what he does, and he's just very wholesome and down-to-earth. And he's a dad, but, like, weapons and...
But he sells his... He makes the puppet sell them. That way, legally, he didn't sell the stuff. If the puppet sells you a knife... A switchblade or a fake ID, you didn't sell it. At least that's the defense he plans on taking, the way he explained it to me.
Okay, have you been caught yet? I mean, do we need to, like, be, you know, up in arms?
Well, you might want to get that bail money ready.
Well, yeah, they've already got that information now, thanks to you. They didn't have to even crack his phone.
No, here they go, just going to grab him tonight. The police, right now they're saying, be on the lookout for a purple puppet.
Well, one thing I've got to say is that all three of my sons are so different, so individual, so unique. And there's only a few things I could think of that we all agree on emphatically. Our love for David Bowie.
And you're all voting for Ted Cruz.
No. And how much they respect you and how much you've done for them.
Oh, my goodness. That means the world to me. I'm serious.
Yeah, they each have a very unique relationship with you.
Yes.
And it's worked so well all these years. Mm-hmm. And we really thank you for that.
Well, that's sweet of you guys. I appreciate Mom and Dad Walliner. Thank you for calling. And I hope you feel better, Mom. And I'll talk to both of you very soon.
Okay, be well. Thanks.
Take care. Thank you for this opportunity.
Of course. Bye. That was a nice tribute. And speaking of tributes, someone I'd like to pay tribute to. Kristen Cheeks. You know her. Lady Slaw Dog. I think she calls herself now. Yeah.
I present to you Lord and Lady Slaw Dog.
Like it's some fancy dinner. I didn't even get in. I didn't even come within 100 miles of the radio breaks with Dudio. I didn't even get to that. Mom put Slaw Dog on the table. I couldn't even look. I never looked back. Seriously, Dudio, right now you tell me. I'll never mention Slaw Dog again. You just say the word. He said he likes it. Okay. Well, all right, I'll keep it going then. Kristen, at Kristen Cheeks. You know her from the Half Hour Power. She is going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire tomorrow and Thursday. Oh, my goodness. What is that, on ABC? Okay, so you check that out on your television set, and you can watch. And I can't say what happens, but I can just say that that Dudio's got this watch that is so huge. Now, with so many, it's so jewel-embossed. I think we know who's sitting on $1 million right now. I can't say. Rest of America, you'll find out. But I've seen him. He's been flashing cash like nobody's business. I can't wait to watch. Wednesday and Thursday. Who wants to be a millionaire? Check your local affiliates for more information on that. And just so you guys know, I went to Atlantic City a few days ago for a couple days. I finished working on a job for a long time, and then I was like, I'm going to go to the place where it's so relaxing and so peaceful and so fun. What's more relaxing than watching a city fall into the ocean, basically, financially collapse into the Atlantic Ocean? So relaxing watching. It is bleak down there, man. Atlantic City. Holy moly. That's rough stuff, Jack. Because there used to be casinos all up and down the boardwalk. Now you got Revel is gone. The Showboat is gone. The Taj Mahal is gone. There's no Trump casinos down there anymore, right? I think all three of them are gone, because there was the Trump Casino, then there was the Trump Taj Mahal, then there was the Trump Marina, which is now like the Golden Nugget. And for a while, that was like a Jimmy Buffett casino. Boy, that capped out. Jimmy Buffett, there was probably a point where it's like, you're going to be worth $1 billion. So it's like, hey, Jimmy, remember that thing about you being worth $1 billion? It's not happening. You're not going to be worth $1 billion. The casino's going under. We just sold it to Golden Nugget for a few rolls of masking tape. So I go down, and where do I stay? Harrah's. And I'm telling you, Atlantic City, she is not so well now. Oh, brother. That place on the rocks hard. No, I was not comped. The guys at Masses go down there every 2 weeks. Haven't been down there in a while. Don't get comped. So it's Atlantic City. I usually go down when I've gone down when I've had to write things, and it's good because then you can just kind of, it's up and you stay up. And you know, people are like, why don't you go to the woods? Go get a thing. I fall asleep at 7 o'clock if I go to the woods. First of all, I go to the woods when I get mauled by a bear. I just want to go somewhere where I can walk and get food. And then it stays awake, and then maybe I go to play Big Bang Theory slot machine for a little bit. That's all I want out of life. Is that so bad? Why don't you go to the woods? No, you go to Atlantic City, I can stare at the ocean. That's nature. You got the beach and the ocean. Then I can also go to the buffet. Man, I went to the buffet at the Borgata, a.k.a. the only nice casino in Atlantic City. It's like the only thing. When that place, I'm telling you, when that place starts to crumble, it is done in Atlantic City. Get out, run. If you go there and you start to see that place falling apart, get out. Cash your chips and get to your car. And these people at these, it is like, they're just moaning about everything. I swear, I go to the buffet and it's like,
It's all good food at the buffet, the Borgata buffet. And there, old guy. They're seating this old guy, this group. And he goes, "Why are they putting us so far from the food?" It's like, what do you mean? So, you mean they're putting you at the tables? Like, what do you want to pull a chair up to the buffet? That you want? Here you go, sir. We don't want you to have to walk 35 feet to get your food. Literally, there's a thing where you walk on a line and you can get food from all around the world. There's 100 different things you can get at this thing. We wouldn't want you to have to walk 35 feet for that, though, sir. So here's a fork. Here's a fork and a bib. We'll actually just wrap a towel around your jowls. So, you know, you just pull a chair up right there. You just eat right out of the trays. And then it's like they're moaning about that. And then there's this lady. She sounds like Edith Bunker. She's saying to the guy behind the counter at the buffet, she's like, "What happened to the sliders?" It's like, "What? What happened to the sliders? You don't have sliders anymore. What happened to the slider?" Sliders? First of all, when did this whole slider thing, like, that's like in the discussion now, a slider. It's like a White Castle hamburger, a slider. He should have said, "Hey lady, we have actual vegetables here and like all sorts of actual well-prepared things you can put on your plate. If you're dying for White Castle, there's one down the road. Here's $4. Go get 10 hamburgers." What happened to the sliders? Just moaning, these people complaining. Oh boy. You'd think they were sentenced to jail. You'd think they were just a suicide squad, that they're all locked in a prison. The buffet. I'm going to see this Suicide Squad movie. These DC movies, I ain't got no handle on none of them. I don't know any of these characters. I know Batman. I know Superman. I know Green Goggles and Wonder Woman and The Flash, because Spike, the guy who used to call the show but apparently doesn't anymore, he was obsessed with the one guy who played him in a porn parody, John Wesley Goggins or something like that. So, I don't know, there's this movie, Suicide Squad, coming out. These DC movies are usually so boring, because they're all so grim. They're usually all 3 hours long and boring. But then they put this one out, Suicide Squad, and it's got like an alligator guy and a woman with a sword, and then it's got Will Smith is in it. And I want to see that movie. I want to see that trailer. That's a good movie trailer. That made me want to see it. It's like, man, it seems bonkers. I'll see it. Couldn't pay me to see Superman versus Batman. Lex Luthor with Jesse Eisenberg. "Look what we got here. The Bat and Superman." Who was it, Willy Wonka? Willy Wonka is now Lex Luthor? That's where we're at. Is he gonna throw a everlasting gobstopper at Batman? So yeah, I want to see the Suicide Squad, but the people are like acting like they're in jail in that movie. They're at the buffet. Eat the food instead of flapping your lips. Put food between them. And then I sit down, I'm playing the Big Bang Theory slot machine. That's a fun slot machine, man. A lot of sounds, a lot of things, characters pop up. It's a good time. It's like if TV paid you. And then I'm like looking at it though, and I'm just like, man, what if Frank Sinatra came back from the dead, walked back into Atlantic City, and saw this? It's like, I'm back. I'm going to Atlantic City. Check it out again. Walks into the thing. What the? What's a bazinga? Hey, Frank, you want to play a slot machine? Yeah, I got some quarters. Yeah, you don't put quarters anymore in them. Yeah. You don't use quarters to these things anymore, dude. What? No quarters. What, the penny slots? Yeah, no coins anymore on these. Here, why don't you play this Big Bang Theory slot machine? What's this one guy? What's his nerds or something? These are like the... He'd be looking at it like, these are like the dorks who... He's like... These are like the dorks who set my, like, there's a show about dorks now. He'd be so mad. Frank Sinatra, like the thing would be glowing and flashing and you have a headache. This thing's giving me a headache. Hey, you got three Big Bang Theories. Now you're going to the Bazinga round on the slot machine. Bazinga, what? Why is this one dork saying bazinga? What's that mean? And then I'm playing like a, then there's like a Britney Spears slot machine. I started playing it and then I'm like looking at it closer. And it's like, it's like a, like what's the goal of this? Is to start turning people on this machine? And then I look and I swear to you, two other guys playing it were like straight up out of central casting. For like perverts. And then I was just like, I gotta stop playing this thing right now. It was like, they were like, hey, it's Britney. Look at Britney Spears. Yeah. Atlantic City. Check it out while you can. Won't be here much longer. All right. Who's good here, Mike? All right. Best show. I'm holding.
Oh, hold on. Oh, the little alarm on my keychain was going off. Sorry about that.
That's your keychain.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Why? It's got Megabase.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's actually MaxiBase.
Yeah, it's got a lot of range for a keychain.
It do. Yeah, it do.
Yeah, it do.
Yeah. Oh. Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I do know who it is. It's not hard to guess who it is.
Oh.
Yeah. It's...
Well, I'm sorry to be so obvious and boring.
No, I mean it in a good way. It's exciting that you're calling.
Okay.
What? It's Philly Boy Roy.
At your service.
Yeah.
No, actually, you're at my service.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel like Trump.
You feel like Trump.
Yeah.
At your service. Wait.
No, you're at my service.
I'm at your service. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to just say, it's been a while since Since we've talked, you haven't called in a long time. You know, that's all. I guess what's been going on your end?
Oh, you know, just digging myself out of this vet stadium sized pit of depression.
You're depressed?
Very. Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh no. What are you depressed about?
Where to begin? Well, firstly, Duke from Rocky died.
That's true. The actor who played Duke in the Rocky movies, who was, he started as Apollo Creed's trainer.
Yeah.
then he eventually shifted over and started training Rocky.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He would oil him up.
I don't know if he oiled him up. I think he helped him with strategy.
I feel like there was a couple oiling scenes, no?
I don't know if there were any oiling scenes.
All right. Well, look, speaking of Rocky.
Yeah.
Then the next blow came when Stallone lost the Best Supporting Actor nod to Mark Rylance.
Yes, in the Oscars, the Academy Awards, Sylvester Stallone was nominated for Creed for Best Supporting Actor, but then he lost to Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies.
Yeah. Look, I don't know about you. I am so tired of hearing about Mark Rylance. It's all anyone talks about anymore. Did you see the new Mark Rylance flick? I can't get enough of Mark Rylance. I wonder who Mark Rylance is voting for. I loves me some Mark Rylance. I can't stand it, Tom.
You're just tired of hearing about Mark Rylance.
Yeah.
It's like all Rylance all the time.
It is, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're, that's showbiz.
I hate it. Yeah. I love showbiz, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Right? I'm real good at it.
You're good at showbiz?
Don't you think?
I mean, you're
no... I've done a lot of cool stuff.
Well, you're no Mark Rylance.
That's true.
Then again, who is?
No.
Right?
He ain't even that.
These days, even Mark Rylance isn't Mark Rylance.
That's right. That should be on a movie poster.
If there was a movie called, instead of Being John Malkovich, Being Mark Rylance... What do you think about that?
I'm writing it down. I'm gonna shoot this to Jake Fogelnoose. Do you know him?
I do know him. He's like a Hollywood bigwig.
Bigwig. Verified.
He is verified.
He is. I think he was the first one verified ever.
That Twitter was just like, there's too many fake Jake Fogelnests.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that people know this is the real deal.
Absolutely, yeah.
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 And he just had a birthday, so happy birthday to Jake Fogelnest. You don't want to say happy birthday to Jake?
No, I do. Happy birthday, Jake.
Okay.
I'm just upset about something else.
Okay, what are you upset about?
I got kicked out of the Violators.
Wait. The Violators. Kurt, yeah. Vile's, but you were in Kurt Vile's band, The Violators?
Yeah, didn't you read about it on Shuffle.com?
No.
Oh. Yeah, Kurt heard my cover of Punk Rock Girl, you know, by the Dead Milkmen?
Sure.
It was on this Dr. Demento tribute album that never came out.
Uh-huh.
And he went ape-ass hit when he heard it.
Sure.
You know, he said some of The Violators is losing their Philly flavor.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to come in and help keep it real.
To keep the Philly flavor in the band.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was supposed to play with him at South by Southwest tomorrow, but things got weird.
Uh-huh. How did things get weird?
Well, KV got jealous about the Ziegler monologues.
I don't know. What are the Ziegler monologues?
It's just one of my Johns.
Uh-huh. Okay, John. Okay.
What? I can say that.
You can say John.
Yes.
Because you're from Philly.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what it means, don't you?
What?
A John is, it's pretty much a thing.
Okay, it's a thing. What thing?
A thing.
A John, so a John is anything.
Anything that you're doing. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like say I'm, I don't know. Say I'm taking a bong hit, right?
Uh-huh.
That bong hit is my John.
So it means nothing, is what you're saying.
No, it means everything.
It means everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Ziegler monologues?
Yes, yeah. Well, you heard of the monologues, right?
Yeah, I had to bleep you there, because you can't say... It's called the Vagina Monologues. That's not what you just said.
Well, I just said something instead of that.
Yeah, and you can't say that.
Oh.
I had to bleep you.
Wait, what is it again? It's the what?
The vagina monologues.
Ew, gross!
Why is that that's not gross.
Okay. Well, look, anywho, the Ziegler monologues?
Yeah?
It's similar in nature to that, but instead of talking about my love purse, I talk about my life on them cold, hard scrabble streets of Roxborough.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, they were some of the hardest, most violent winter games of Scrabble I ever played.
Okay, I'm confused here. Okay, when you said hard Scrabble.
Yeah.
I didn't know you literally meant you were playing Scrabble.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, back in the 80s in Roxborough, everyone was in a Scrabble gang.
I don't know what a Scrabble gang is.
Like a Scrabble street gang. I was in the Livesey Street Word Warriors.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No. The craziest thing ever?
Yeah.
Was our leader. Double word score Dan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like a crazier Idi Amin on performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh.
I wish there was a simpler way of saying that.
Yeah, no, it's like a little overly descriptive. But
be shortened, but it can't.
No, it really, I feel like you calling him, what did you call him, a crazier
Idi Amin on performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah. It gets the point across.
It does, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, look, one time, just to illustrate how crazy he was, during a practice game,
yeah,
he caught me brailing for power tiles, and then when I coffee-housed him for like 20 minutes, he almost shanked me. And that was even before the Dingle Challenge.
I have no idea what on earth you're talking about. Are those like Scrabble terms?
Crack Darren Hinch much? It don't sound like you do.
Who is Darren Hinch?
Only the author of the Scrabble book, you Scrabble Dabble dummy.
Okay. That's news to me.
Well, but look, getting back to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kurt got mad that I was getting serious offers from Shout Films to produce the monologues.
Okay.
He said I was stealing his thunder.
That you were, so he sounds like he was getting a little, maybe a little jealous.
Oh, yeah, he was. See, it was that, and also I went behind his back and put my face over his face on the tour t-shirts.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and he fired my ass.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that's
Don't
not...
laugh.
Well, it's an extreme situation.
It is, and you know what?
What?
Tom, you don't know true humiliation until you have to sit your wife and your kids down and tell them that you're no longer a violator.
So it was a hard thing to tell the family, huh?
Very hard. It was even worse than when I had to tell my parents I wasn't in the fall no more.
That you weren't what?
In the fall.
The fall.
Yeah.
Not the band, the fall.
Yeah.
The British band, The Fall?
Yeah.
Marky Smith's band.
Yeah, why?
I have no idea how I never talked to you about you being in The Fall.
Oh, well, you know me. I don't like to toot my own horn, Winkle, you know?
Oh, yeah, because you're just so, you're so incredibly humble.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I was, oh, look. When were you in The Fall?
1981.
81?
Yeah.
Wow. How old were you in 81?
15.
Okay.
Yeah. Want me to nutshell it for you?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Well, one day in the spring of 81, I'm riding my mini bike, through Center City.
Mm-hmm.
Popping wheelies, splashing people, breaking old ladies' toes.
Sure. Like one does.
Oh, yeah.
I still do it sometimes. I do two of them to this day. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to tell you which ones.
Okay.
It's the toe breaking and the wheelies.
Okay. Well, yeah. Look. I would say as long as you aren't hurting anybody, but you're hurting someone. You're breaking people's toes. Oh, that laugh.
You love it. You haven't heard it in so long, and I haven't done it in so long.
Look, it's good to hear you laugh then.
Thank you. So look, anyway, I'm driving up Walnut Street, right?
Yeah.
And I look to my left, and there's these five super pale English dudes getting their picture taken in front of Will's Eye Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out it's the fall. They was playing this club across the street called Omni's.
Okay.
And me, you know, being completely blitzed out on homemade crank.
Uh-huh, okay.
I yell out, take a picture, it'll last longer.
Uh-huh.
Which at the time made perfect sense to me, but now in retrospect, I mean, it makes about as much sense as a cold cut slicer at a senior citizen's chess tournament or something, right?
Sure. I mean, is that a metaphor?
You ain't never heard that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I never heard something making as much sense as a deli, as a cold cut slicer at a senior citizen.
Get the wiener out of your ears, please.
Uh-huh.
And listen up.
Okay.
That makes about as much sense as a cold cut slicer at a senior citizen's chess tournament.
Yeah. Okay. Never heard the expression before.
Well, you did tonight.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay. So look, anyway, the photo they was posing for?
Yeah.
That's on the cover of this Live Fall LP called A Part of America Therein.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll notice, they all look really mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was giving them the Philly Raz.
Okay.
I was saying stuff like, go back to Antarctica, stuff like that.
Sure. So you're winding them up.
Yeah. Anyway, so the one dude who turned out to be Marky Smith,
yeah,
he goes, come on over here, lad. So I ride up to him, and he asked me to play bass that night.
Well, first thing that comes to mind for me is, why would he think that you could play bass?
Oh, because I just stolen one from some dweeb on the street, and I had it slung over my shoulder. Why?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair answer.
So you know, basically, I ain't never played an instrument in my life. It's the first time I've ever had one.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know what an amp was. I tried to plug my bass into the drum set.
Okay, that's weird.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Uh-huh. Well,
what, you said it was weird?
Yeah, it's
weird.
Well, it's weird.
Well, you shut up.
Okay, well, no, I'm not going to shut up.
Okay, now we're even.
Yeah, all right.
We're both not going to do what the other wants us to do.
No, I guess it works out like that sometimes.
It certainly does. Sounds like Marge and Lisa Simpson on that Simpsons the other night.
Yeah, they were really going at it, huh?
I loved that episode.
Yeah, it was funny to see them just like, she wanted to go to Mars, and then Marge didn't want her to. So the way to stop it was to say, I'm going to Mars also.
No, wait. I meant the episode that was on Midnight the other night with Colonel Hap Happablap.
Okay. I didn't see that one.
Okay. Well, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Well, look, anyway, I'm off track, okay?
So yeah, okay.
Marky Smith loved my playing. I couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
He said I sounded like a drunk kangaroo fighting a lorry driven by a robot programmed by a young Herman Hess.
That is the most specific thing. That is so specific.
Sometimes the best things in life are, Tom.
Uh-huh. Specific.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I end up playing the show that night, and then I went on tour with them.
You went on tour. That is with the fall.
I did, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Well, it was sort of fun, but I only lasted like 8 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had to bail because I realized how weak the cheesesteaks were outside the Delaware Valley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I knew I couldn't go on like that.
Yeah, so you just couldn't take the weak cheesesteaks.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's...
So I bailed.
Sure.
But it turned out for the best, though.
Uh-huh.
And I still hear from Mark every now and then.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he calls a couple times a year and he goes, Roy, send me one of those cheesesteaks from Jim's steak place.
So
it cracks me up.
He says it, so that's how he talks on the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The way he sings.
He does, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Uh-huh. I think it's cool you're still in touch with him.
It's great, yeah.
Well. Are you...
I'm really fluctuating between elation and severe sadness.
Well, what is it? What
well,
is
you
it
know, for? The big thing I'm struggling with...
Yeah?
You know, I'm coming up on 40.
You're coming up on 40? How old are you?
49. Wait.
How are you coming up on 40? You're 9 years past 40.
Well, it all depends on how you look at it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it all... No, it doesn't all depend on how you look at it. It's like a factual thing.
No, but it could be like that.
Okay. Neither here nor there.
Wait, how do you say it?
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So you're getting a little older and you're having a hard time with it.
I am. I'm trying to change with the change in times.
Mm-hmm.
Like that DB song. And it ain't easy.
Okay.
You know, things are so different now.
Uh-huh. Like how so?
Well, like food, for instance. You know, I went to Starbucks the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered a vented Fribble wrap and they all laughed at me. You're laughing at me, too.
A vented Fribble frap?
Yeah, well, how do you say it?
Well, it sounds like you were ordering as if you were at Friendly's. Are you sure you didn't think you were at Friendly's?
Well, I always think I'm at Friendly's.
Uh-huh. You thought you were ordering a Fribble from Friendly's. Like a Frappuccino?
What's that?
That's what you were trying to order.
I don't even know no more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, boy. And I'm trying to figure out social media.
Sure. That's
it's also
hard.
Confusing.
Okay.
I can't tell who's a total nerd, who's a total badass, and who gives zero Fs.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know until today that you had to include the words "the amazing" before someone's name when you tweet it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's because they'll probably see it.
Yeah. All these rules. I hate it.
Uh-huh. You're not into all these. These are like the things that make this whole new world tick.
It's too much, you know. Yeah. And politics is totally different now, too.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. How do you think politics are different now, Roy?
Well, it used to be so simple to vote, right? You know, you went to the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
You voted for Frank Rizzo.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pull the lever for Frank Rizzo, someone would come into the booth and he'd ask you why you didn't pull the thing for Frank Rizzo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that is different.
It is different, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Well, you know.
She was a bebop baby on a hard day's night. She was holding on to Johnny. He was holding on tight.
Wait, what was that? Who is that?
This is Roy Jr.
Oh my God. Roy Jr.
Yes.
Seriously? This is really Roy Jr.?
That's correct, sir.
Philly Boy Roy Jr.
That's correct, sir. To whom am I speaking?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, this is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of The Best Show.
Oh. Hello, sir. My father has mentioned you by name on many occasions, and it's nice to finally meet you, albeit via the telephone.
Uh-huh. Wow. This is monumental. I'm talking to, you know, your father's spoken of you so many times over the last, like, 10, 15 years at this point, but this is the first time I think I've ever heard your voice.
That's correct, sir.
Uh-huh. Wow. You know, can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Just curious, because your father has, like, the thickest Philly accent I've ever heard, and you don't seem to have any accent at all.
Oh, well, you know, the accent skips a generation, sir. You know, if you've ever heard an interview with Charlie Daniels Jr.,
you'll notice that he sounds exactly like William F. Buckley.
Charlie Daniels Jr. does.
He does, yes, yeah.
Wow. That is, I did not know. I've never heard an interview with, I don't know where I would hear Charlie Daniels Jr. interviewed, but.
Oh, they're out there.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll check them out maybe later. Yeah. Where are you, Roy Jr.?
I'm at college, sir. I attend Drexel University.
Wow. I got to say, I kind of can't wrap my head around how unlike Roy Sr. you are, Roy Jr.
When I saw her crossing the crowded room, I knew that she had to leave the party soon.
What was that?
Yes, Master. The beast is in my sights. It is standing right below a banner with the letters T-R-U.
Well, what is going on here?
I will perform the duty required of me, Master. The country is at a crossroads, and this monster needs to be caged.
It's time for you to take your place in the history books.
Oh my God. What is going on there? It sounds like Roy Sr., you said T-R-E, are you, it's like, it sounds like you might be at like a Trump rally or something.
The humiliation will take place soon, Master.
Roy, I don't know what you're up to, but just think about it.
I'm going to plaster all three of them.
Okay, I'm very confused now. What do you mean all three of them? Like, Roy, I have a couple, two things I want to ask. Okay?
Don't listen to Blob, Roy. Fulfill your destiny.
Roy? Where are you, Roy Sr.?
I'm in the balcony of the Marriott Hotel Ballroom in Altoona, PA.
Okay. Can you describe, I guess for, like, lack of a better word, like what you're looking, like what are you looking at? Like you're talking about, like you're looking at like a target or something?
There's no time for this, Roy. Do it.
It's got three heads, like a hydra. Three bodies, too.
Three heads and three bodies. What are the bodies? What clothes are on the bodies? I'm trying to figure this out.
One is wearing a shirt that says angel on earth as it is in heaven. Another is wearing one that says five-finger death punch. The middle one is wearing one that says UFO.
Three bodies, three heads. Are the three bodies or three heads saying anything?
Yes. The one in the UFO shirt is saying that, contrary to popular opinion, Paul Stanley is the one who runs KISS, not Gene Simmons. He also used the phrase, good friend of mine, 342 times so far.
Uh-huh. And has he managed, the one in the UFO shirt, has he managed to turn every conversation around to being about himself?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And can I guess what the one in the five-finger death punch shirt probably said some version of?
Yes.
Did he say something along the lines of, and it maybe sounded like, well, you know, when Ozzy did Volume 4, I think that some of his best vocals are on Volume 4 and the eight original albums with Ozzy are classics, even though Never Say Die and Technical Ecstasy might have a little too much production on them.
He said that verbatim.
Enough of this jabbering.
Okay. Get on with it.
Okay. This, I think I figured this out. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, Roy, you're not at a Donald Trump rally. It sounds like you're at an Eddie Trunk That Metal Show event. Roy? Does that make sense? Roy? Wait, what was that? I don't know what on earth was that?
The beast has been slimed, Master.
Slimed?
Roy, you have done well. You're a witch, girl, and you've gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway.
Oh. Hello? Did somebody just hang up?
Where am I? What's going on?
Roy?
Yes!
It's Tom.
Oh, my God.
Based on the things you've said,
yes.
You're in the balcony of, like, the Marriott Hotel in Altoona, Pennsylvania?
Doing what?
You're at, like, a That Metal Show event.
What am I doing there? I hate that show.
Roy, I don't know how to... I'm afraid to ask this, but... Can you look at the stage and tell me what's happening on the stage?
Okay, hang on. Oh, my God, Blob.
What?
It's horrific.
What?
Three adult men who dress like 15-year-old boys.
Yeah?
They're rolling around on stage in pain. They're covered in what looks to be shovelfuls of meat, lettuce, peppers, provolone cheese, and onions.
Uh-huh.
It's like someone shot them with some kind of high-powered hoagie cannon.
Yeah, I think someone did probably do that.
Oh, no, who?
You!
What? Oh, my yes. God, no! Oh, my God, I think you're right.
Why?
There's a high-powered hoagie cannon between my legs. How did this happen?
Wait, you don't remember any of this?
No!
Okay, well, here, I'll... Explain it the best I can from my point of view here.
Okay.
You and I were talking about what you had been up to, and then Roy Jr., your son, got on the line and recited like a Hooters lyric, and then you went into a trance and started like calling him Master, and then he commanded you to humiliate the beast. And then there was like a weird sound, and then I'm assuming that was you firing the hoagie cannon. Then he sang Rich Girl, like some of Hall & Oates' Rich Girl, and then you seemed to snap out of it.
That little stinker. It sounds like Roy Jr. was doing a whole Frank Sinatra, Shelley Winters, Peruvian candidate maneuver on my ass.
Peru? Oh, no, I think you mean a Manchurian candidate, like the movie.
What movie?
Oh, okay, forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me ask you, Roy, why on earth would your son Roy Jr. want to humiliate the guys from That Metal Show, Eddie Trunk, Jim Florentine, and Don Jameson?
Okay, well. I'll nutshell it for you, okay?
Okay.
So 2 years ago, Roy Jr. was at a That Metal Show taping.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to ask a Stump the Trunk question.
Which is Eddie Trunk's trivia thing where you try to ask a metal-based question and see if you can stump him.
Yeah, yeah. So Roy asked, what is the connection between The Clash, AC/DC, and Black Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie took forever to guess.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he couldn't come up with nothing.
Okay. And what is the answer to that question?
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Oh. Well, it's stuff everyone knows. See, original Clash drummer Terry Chimes.
Yeah.
He played drums with Sabbath for 6 months in 87 on the Headless Cross tour. And then Brian Johnson, he auditioned for AC/DC at Vanilla Studios, which is, of course, where The Clash wrote and rehearsed the material for London Calling.
Wow. That is, that's some pretty deep trivia there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody would know that.
That's what Eddie Trunk said, and he got really mad, and he yelled at Roy Jr., and he made fun of Roy Jr.'s mohawk, his face tattoo, and his shoulder parrot, and he wouldn't let him take a prize from the prize box.
Okay.
So he got really mad.
Yeah.
And so I guess Roy Jr. felt he needed to exact hoagie revenge via a zombie like Roy Sr., and I can't say I blame him.
Uh-huh. Well, Roy Ziegler, you, over the years, have brought some incredibly bizarre and weird scenarios to this show. But this one takes the cake. This is the weirdest.
Well, it just got even weirder.
Wait, is that Roy Jr.?
Yes!
Ugh. Oh, Roy Jr. I thought you were... Oh, my God.
Roy Jr., what are you up to now? Look in the mirror.
Who?
Both of you.
Both of us?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, hang on. There's a mirror over here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, let me find my mirror app. Hang on. Got it open now. Oh, my God, no!
Oh, my God. What the hell happened? I'm looking in the mirror, and I am seeing, looking back at me, Roy's face.
And I'm looking into my mirror app, and I see Blob's face. This is just like that movie Face Off, except it's not the best flick I ever seen, bar none.
What the hell is... Roy Jr., whatever you're doing, make it stop.
No.
Come on, Roy Jr., this is not cool.
I'll change your faces back.
Yeah.
If Tom sings 1 Week by Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, I could actually do that.
In the voice of Brad Garrett from Everyone Loves Raymond.
Oh, I am not into that at all. No. No, I don't like that idea. But if I do it, you promise you'll actually do whatever you did with that weird sound to change our faces back?
Hey, don't question the honesty of my son. If a Ziegler says he's going to change two guys' faces back, he's going to change their faces back.
Okay. All right. I actually have to do this to get it in the voice of Brad Garrett?
You got to do it.
Okay. Let me think of the impression. Right?
Everybody, Raymond. Right? Raymond, why?
So I have to sing.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said, I'm sorry. 5 days since you laughed at me and said, get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realize it's all my fault, I couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you've forgiven me, but it's still 2 days since you said you're sorry.
Is that enough?
You gotta do the Canadian rap.
Oh.
Raymond, I'm trying to get this. Hold the voice. Everybody, hold it now and watch it hoodwink. To make you stop, think. You think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, though I like the chalet Swiss, I like sushi, because it never touched the frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne Rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Kempert's got the mad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a faker like a stinking egg and shake it like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. You gotta see the show and then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go because it's dangerous. You have to sign a waiver. How can I help it if you think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, well, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt.
Is that enough?
All right, now freestyle for 15 minutes.
Freestyle?
I'm kidding.
Oh, God. Gonna
Okay, those faces should be back to normal. I'm using air quotes around normal, by the way.
Oh, that's charming. That's very funny. Real nice.
Oh, thank y'all. I'm beautiful again.
Oh, hold on. Oh, my face is back to normal, too.
Oh, okay, well, fun chat, you guys. Roy Jr., I'll see you at dinner tomorrow night, okay?
Okay, Pop. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Love you.
Love you too, son. Later, Blob.
Wow. That is easily the weirdest thing that ever happened, not only on this show, but has ever happened, that I've ever heard of happening. But in the, that was as, the weirdest part is how touching it was to hear those two say goodbye to each other. That is as, oh my goodness, this is the strangest episode of The Best Show maybe ever. Right, Mike? It is a weird one. Let's try to ground it with some music. We played a song by Islands from their one album, which is called Taste, which comes out in May, an exclusive from that. Now we're going to play another one from the other album, Should I Remain Here at Sea, also coming out, I believe, in May. Two albums. It's like they're Use Your Illusion, but it's good. This song is called Christmas Tree. And listen to the lyrics. See if you can catch anything that invokes any memory of The Best Show, maybe. I don't know. See, listen to the lyrics. Here's Islands with Christmas Tree.
I was feeling all warm inside, lit up like a Christmas tree, surrounded by my family, acting like I'm gonna die. But they don't really know about my life, they don't really notice me. Only when I'm burning bright, that's the only light they see. You don't really know about my life, you don't really know about me. Only thing that you know about my life is I am the one who is free. Who is free? Who is free? Who is free? They said I'm shopping for a coffin, please. I said everyone.
my goodness. Christmas Tree by Islands from the other album. Should I Remain Here at Sea? Because they had the album Return to the Sea. And now they got Should I Remain Here at Sea? That and the other album Taste come out in May, and you can find out more about those two albums and pre-order them over at islandsareforever.com. Now we go back to the best show. You guys are right out there? Yeah, not you, Mike. The other two. Studio's okay. I'm not calling you that anymore, buddy. I think it's an... I don't like that nickname. I'm telling you right now. If anybody calls him that, I'm not even saying it anymore. If you say it, you're banned. You hear me? That goes for everybody. You know, you call him Dudio. You call him his given name, Dudio. Not, you know, not even saying it. All right, Slaw Dog. Not saying it. Fine. You call him Slaw Dog once in a while. We'll call him it once in a while. We're not going to punish him. This isn't some... And look, I want to say something here. Last few weeks, there were I was down about the show sometimes. I'm like, what are we doing here? What's this going on? Should I even be doing this? Does anybody care? You want to know what? This is where I'm at with this thing. I wrap my head around it. Take a page. Look at Donald Trump, this guy. Is he demented? Yeah, of course he's demented. Is he terrifying? Absolutely. But does this weird monster, freak of nature, looks like if a Oompa Loompa fell into a cotton candy machine? Looks like if an Oompa Loompa and a gorilla had a kid, and then the offspring stuck its head in a cotton candy machine and then ended up with a head full of whatever that is, that whip of cotton candy on his head. So I'm telling you right now, will America die if he becomes president? Yeah, I think it's likely. Do I want to see that happen? Yeah, probably not. I go back and forth on that. But here's what I come away. If he can just bully his way through things, and then win, he wins when he bullies things. It's like, he ain't going, oh, I hope. This guy's like one of the biggest flops ever. He's got this casino. He has a casino. A casino is a place where basically people show up pushing each other out of the way to get to tables and machines where they put money into them. And the odds slightly favor the business for keeping the money than the people for getting more money. And all three of those businesses he had in Atlantic City went out of business. But is he just like, oh, jeepers, I can't do anything. The casinos went under. It's embarrassing. Now, you don't care. That's that best show's going to start trumping it up, man. I'm trumping it up here. And look, I get this guy's moves. I'm doing them for good. I use them for good. He uses them for not good / evil. But when he was making fun of Marco Rubio, he said, like, this guy... Like, Marco Rubio looks like he fell into a swimming pool. Like, I was like, yeah, that's the same way I talk about James. Literally the same way I talk about James. And I'm like,
This clown figured it out. I'm taking a page from his playbook now. Because, look, these are the things that are true about this show. Number one, it's the best. It's called the best show for a reason, because it's the best show. Anybody else doing something like this, they're fighting for second place at best. We're making history here on this show. When this thing's all said and done and boarded up and I've thrown the equipment into the ocean, you're going to look back and say, you know what? That SOB made history. Him and his crew, with all of them, the Sharpling and Worcester stuff was the funniest stuff that ever happened. And then the stuff with the AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and the 100,000 other things that happened on the show. It's the best thing that ever happened. Nobody comes close. Everybody else. And these other shows, I hear them. I'm just going to start trumping it up here, man. Trump it up on the best show. Every other show can suck it. Best show rules. You know it's true. In your heart of hearts, you know it's true. This is the best thing that ever was, is, or will be when it comes. There's 3 hours a week of this thing, and you still can't get enough. Is it ever going to be the most popular show? No. There'll be other shows, like there's a show called Hardy Har Har or whatever, where they eat at a Hardee's every week and review the onion rings or thing. I didn't hear it. I don't know. There's Welcome to Nightshade, which I got more grief on. I haven't heard 2 seconds of this thing. I don't care to. I'm sure it's wonderful if you're into that kind of thing. It's storytelling. God bless them. They're making barrel fulls of money on it. It can't touch what we do here every week. This thing's the best thing you've ever heard or been a part of. And these other shows, it's like the losers, right? Right? It's like, right? And I'm trumping it up now, right? Because look, it's Chris Hardwick. He's a loser, right? Frankly, he's a loser. Jimmy Pardo, who isn't funny, never funny. He calls the show never not funny. It's just not funny. And he's a loser. And frankly, everybody knows it. I'm going to start trumping it up here. You guys are all fighting for second place. Eat it. Best show rules. And look, do we have the infrastructure? No. This thing's being held together with scotch tape and whatever. I don't even know. Shoelaces. But you know what? We're here. We're going to win this fight. I'm telling you. I'm cagey here. Cagey. I'm cagey. I'm like one of these mixed martial arts, those guys. Like a UFC fighter. You know mixed martial arts, that thing where it's basically illegal fighting somehow? That's like, it's basically like a bad science fiction movie coming to reality, where it's like coming true, where it's like Rollerball. Like, that's next. The guy who does UFC, you might as well bring the world Rollerball next. I've got the rights to Rollerball! And you watch these guys, it's like these mixed martial, like Connor, what's the guy's name? Connor McGregor? And they're just all like fight. They get these, oh, I think Connor McGregor's going to win this fight. I don't know. It looks like it's a trash fight. It's a trash fight with trash, the trash sport. But yeah, look at this show. I'm cagey now. I ain't got the resources here. We ain't got what the other ones got. We're not a part of some fancy network. Earwolf, Smodcast, Adam Carolla,
Maximum Fun, who are doing their fundraising drive now, and you should support. This isn't any of those shows. It's a, we're on our own. We're scrapping it out. But you know what? We're here to fight, man. And when the dust settles, the show that is the best in quality will also be the best at the top of the mountain at the end of the day. What do you think about that, Mike? Right? I'm not going to fight. I'm going to start fighting dirty like these UFC guys. They even, yeah, kick each other in the face. What a great sport. Yeah. You punch each other in the face. They're wearing like driver's gloves. Like, so it's basically bare knuckle fighting. And then they also kick each other in the head. Yeah, that won't end. That won't end poorly. This is a healthy, healthy sport. The fights, and everybody's like, ooh, why are the fights only 90 seconds long? It's because people are kicking each other in the head. That's what happens. That's what happens when you start kicking someone in the head. They fall down and they're unconscious. That's what happens. That's why the fights are, oh, Ronda Rousey won her fight in 30 seconds. But then she lost her other fight in 2 minutes. Yeah. It's because they're kicking each other in the head. They're rattling their brains around. That's not supposed to happen. That's why. Their brains are getting rattled. Yeah, so we're going to hang in there, man. We don't know. I got to scrap it. We'll scrap it out a dollar at a time, a show at a time. You have these fancy fat cats, they're all going to be. Because look, I'll tell you this. You got this show. You say 100. You want to say whatever you want to say about me. That's fine. You want to say I'm a creep, a bully. The names I get called, God, you wouldn't call these to your worst enemy, the names people call me without blinking. It's like every day is like being, what's his face, in King of Comedy, Jerry Langford, when he's like on the phone and the woman just yells, she's like, oh, Jerry Langford, my son loves you so much. Can you just say hi to him? He's such a huge fan of you. He's like, I have to go. You should only get cancer. Like, that's the level of abuse that gets thrown my way on a daily basis. I live with it every day. But do I care? No. You throw it at me, I'll take it all and I'll turn it into fuel, like Blade, the way when Whistler told Blade, use it, that's what I'm going to do. Whistler was Kris Kristofferson's character in the Blade flicks. He was like, use this. Yeah, so I'm going to start using it. And we'll outlast them all, and the best show will be left at the top, and we're going to grind it out. Yeah, ain't going to be easy. Ain't say it's going to be easy. Am I selling books? I sell my own books, guys, to put money back into the show to keep it going. Every dollar counts, and I'll do that. I'm going to put a new list up on Facebook, on the Best Show Facebook page of books I'm selling. I'll sell the stuff. It goes back into the coffers, keeps the show going. I don't care. I ain't got no pride anymore. You think I got pride at this point? You actually think I got pride with this thing? No. No, I didn't curse on the air. How dare you? This Chris call. What do you think? I'm professional on this thing. This is some toilet podcast. Not Jonah Ray coming up in here. Okay. Can't control his mouth with that. That's nerdist behavior. That's the kind of stuff you get over there. The bleep this, bleep that. I bleepin' went to a bleepin', Jimmy bleepin' John's. And then I ordered the bleepin' number bleep 7.
And then they bleeping, we're out of bleeping barbecue chips. No, that's not how we run it here. PG. Other guests come on and curse? I can't help that. I'll bounce them into the penalty box, get them straight. You ain't hearing me curse, man. But we're in this for the fight. And I'm telling you, I'm going all in on this fight. Going all in. And at the end of the year, if I look back and these things were rolling backwards, you know what? Then, yeah, maybe I throw the stuff in the ocean. Pack it in. Move on to something else. But I'm fixing a fight. And I'm coming after all these shows. You hear me? Everybody else talking into a microphone. Best show's coming for you. What do you think about this, Mike? You like it, huh? Get fired up. Right? Because you know what? You say anything you want about me. But the one thing you can't say it ain't funny. Because it's funny. And you know it's funny. And you wish your thing was half as funny as this thing in its least funny moment. You can't even come in the same room of funny with this thing. You say I'm a dope, a pig, a bully, a curmudgeon, a grouch. You call me whatever, a mean, a jerk. I don't care. Yeah, that's all your opinion. You're entitled to it. One thing you can't say, man, you ain't funny. Because you know what? It's funny. And you wish you could even... You wish you could, this funny would even look a, you could do a cheap facsimile of this funny in your best moment. Your best moment, you can't even touch it. And I'll take that to the end of time, bro. Right, Mike? Yeah. Look, Mike is high as a kite tonight. Because here are the elements. Here are the things that are making him, putting him on cloud nine. Number one, his father calls. In the moment that should have been like the thing that shattered him, his father played that, he did that time standing up, man. His father, that's a thing, that's like, it's like Goodfellas style. He did not flinch. I see nothing. His father, like, I have to say, Mike's your kid, right? Like he didn't even admit that. I don't think he literally said that he's your father. I think he talked around it. He stayed off the record for that. He let me say it. Yeah, but he didn't, but he just knew he played it close to his vest. You know. And that's Bayonne. And look, you want to help the best show? This is what you do. Hey, you download every episode. You download them. You tell people to download them. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not putting this thing behind a paywall where I give you 20 minutes of it, then you got to pay to get the rest. No. Free. 3 hours free every week. The most toppermost of the comedy thing you ever heard for free. 3 hours. Drop right on your head. Don't cost you a penny. So download it. That's all I ask. Tell people to download it. And if you want to buy a book or something, you go to the Facebook page, The Best Show. Is that what it is? Yeah, it's The Best Show fan page. TheBestShow.net fan. It's the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TheBestShow, DOTNET. We'll put a list up. We're going to put a list up of some books I'm going to sell. Proceeds go to The Best Show. You buy them. If something makes sense, you buy it. That's it. It helps out. We're keeping the lights on with that stuff. Every day, $1 at a time, man. I told you, $1 at a time. We don't got fancy money pouring in. No, we're grinding this thing out. We're going to continue to grind it out. But the thing, you call me a slob, you call me anything, you can't
say, you can't, you gotta say, you know what? I hate that guy, but that's the funniest show I ever heard. And I can't deny, I wish I got the, it's like, you're all Salieri listening to this thing. You're all Salieri. Right? The Mozart up in this piece. So Mike loves, these are the three things Mike loves tonight. His father came on, didn't sell him out. Dudio and Pat's mothers came on, sold them out. That is twice, that might be twice as satisfying for Mike as his father not selling him out. And then third thing, I'm talking tough tonight, and he loves that. He loves tough talk. So this is like a, this is like a, this is like paradise for Mike. And I'm not going to call Jason Slawdog. People want it. It's not going to stick, guys. It's not sticking. Don't worry, Jason. It's not sticking. Okay? Tomorrow you're going to wake up. You're going to bring it up. I promise you. You're going to wake up. You're going to go, did that happen? And then you're going to look at you, I don't think it did. I seriously don't think he likes that whole thing. I'm not calling him that anymore. He's going to get me. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Jason from Toronto.
Jason from Toronto, one of my favorite cities.
Yeah, it's all right.
What?
It's not bad.
It's a great city. I'd live there if I could.
Well, why don't you?
Because work, my work is not there, bro.
I mean, you can go wherever, man.
If you're working, you can't always go wherever.
Okay, okay.
You know what that's like. Or maybe you
don't.
Yeah, of
course.
Maybe you don't.
Well, I drive for a living, so I kind of just go wherever.
You do drive? What do you drive? You drive a rig or a van?
No. I just drive like a small truck.
What are you hauling?
Clothing. Work for a clothing company.
Ah, very fancy.
But yeah, I'm a new listener and just wanted to call and say thanks.
Well, welcome. How did you find out about
Thank
the
you
show?
Very much.
How did you find out about it?
My friend Brendan. From Sarnia.
From Narnia? What?
Sarnia.
Sarnia.
It's across the river from Michigan.
Ah.
Yeah.
Did you go see the live show in Toronto, Sharpling and Worcester Live?
No, he tried to get me to go, but it was sold out by the time he told me about it. So. Oh,
you missed it, bro.
Yeah, I know.
We had the greatest time. Damien from Effed Up was there.
Yeah, I heard.
So much fun. We'll be back.
Hopefully.
We'll be back. So what can I do for you tonight, Chief?
I'm just calling because it's my cat's birthday tomorrow, and I just wondered if...
What?
It's my cat's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, happy... What's your cat's name?
Seth.
Seth?
Yeah.
Why'd you name your cat Seth?
Well, it's actually my girlfriend's cat. She named it after the guy from the O.C.
The guy from the O.C.'s. No, that's not...
Yeah, Seth. I don't know what his last name is.
You mean the guy who plays his guitar up real high like that?
Yeah, I think
John
so.
John Dwyer?
I only watched like three episodes.
Wait, the O.C.'s have a TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV program.
But it's a band. There's a TV show. They have a show now?
Maybe we're on a...
Okay, well, there might be a misunderstanding. Tell me about this band. Tell me about the show, and I'll tell you about the band. We'll see if it's the same thing.
Oh, no, it's about Orange County, like just a bunch of teenagers
sure.
and their lives.
Yeah, because they were from they're from California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if I watch the show, what's the show called? The OCs?
The OC.
Okay. Well, it's only about one of them then. That's weird. So it's just about John Dwyer then.
Must be. Him and Seth.
Okay. And does he sing the song? Romeo Goode's like, he does like that.
Is that the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
It's not the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
That was basically the same riff.
Get off my phone. Welcome to the fold, but get off my phone. Best show.
Tom.
Yes.
Yes, this is Bobby from Maplewood.
Bobby from Maplewood. What's up, Bobby?
I have something for the topic tonight.
Ah, what do you got?
I got, all right. If
and the topic is alternate realities, where we are talking about what would happen in alternate realities.
All right, if Bryan Singer doesn't make the X-Men's Days of Future Past and send Wolverine back to 1973, does it not affect the 1973 of Vinyl?
Bro, I can't follow the math on these X-Men things. I can't follow the math on it. I enjoyed that last one when he goes back and then Quicksilver runs around the room real fast. I like that one. I liked all the stuff in the past. I didn't like the space stuff where they're like, we need to stop these mutant attacks from robots. That stuff was boring. But when Wolverine woke up in 73, that was I liked that part a lot.
That was cool. Yeah. And I kind of watched Vinyl.
Yeah.
I thought that 1973 was very similar to the Wolverine waking up, the Bryan Singer version of 1973.
So you're saying that if Wolverine woke up, what if he woke up and then he's like, I got to go to what's the name of the label again? American
Century.
Americans, he's like, I got to go to American Century and find Mystique. What's Jennifer Lawrence's character?
That would be Mystique.
Mystique, yeah. Did you see, by the way, Saturday Night Live, the impression that Ariana Grande did of her?
No,
of Jennifer Lawrence. It was fantastic. I will say this. Ariana Grande, look, that music she makes is just, doesn't work for, I don't get it. That's not my scene, man, when it comes to music. But she's, I used to watch her on Sam and Cat. I think she's very funny and she's very talented and she did an amazing Jennifer Lawrence impression. It made me laugh out loud.
Cause I kind of felt when I watched the first episode of Vinyl where he goes to the New York Dolls at the Mercer Theater and they change history where it breaks up. I almost expected like that's the part where you have like Michael Fassbender as Magneto rise up and destroy the Mercer Theater.
Who? Michael Fassbender?
Yeah.
Wait, that's not how you say his name.
How do you say his name?
Now you got me questioning it.
Is it Fassenbach? Fassenbach.
No, not Fassenbach.
Fassenbach.
Well, how do you say his name, Dudio? What? You know, Fassbinder. Yeah, and Fassenbach.
Fassbinder?
Fassenbach. Get it?
All right.
Fez in your back. Call your Fez in your back. Get it? Michael Fassenbach. Fassenbach. Get it? Fez in your back. Back in your Fassen. Michael Fassenbach. He's an X-Man. He's also in 12 Years a Slave. Fez in your back. Back. Get it?
It was also Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that movie. Those jeans. That's the only thing I liked from that movie. Those jeans. That proves that guy wasn't a genius. The only thing that guy was a genius in, Steve Jobs, was picking the world's worst pants out on a regular basis. That's the thing he was a genius at. He was a visionary of bad jean wearing. That movie, a lot of fighting in that movie. Everybody bringing all the problems to him when he's going to announce the new iPod.
Yeah, was that the thing? Like he had to fight about like his custody or his
daughter. There's that scene in the movie when his daughter's got like a Walkman or a Discman. He's like, I'm going to make you a thing that holds 10,000. No, you're not going to make the thing that holds 10,000 songs. Some slave is going to make it. Now, first of all, you're not going to come up. You're going to go tell somebody, we should make a thing that holds songs. They'll figure it out, and then slaves will make it. That's what happened. That bum. Like 100 years from now, they're going to look back at that guy as a villain of the 20th century. An actual enemy of humanity. Steve Jobs. Straight up enemy. What's that now?
Would his daughter be like the implement of like evil because she wore a Sony Walkman?
I don't know, bro. I don't have to tell you. Beat feet, as Gary the Squirrel would say. Best show.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
What?
Hey, Mike.
Oh, this is Tom. This is not Mike.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
Hi, that's all right. What's going on?
Nothing. I was calling for the topic.
Yeah, what do you got for? What's your name, first of all?
Well, I'm sorry. This is Jeff in Dallas.
Jeff in Dallas. What's up tonight, Jeff?
A long time ago, it might have been about a year ago, somebody mentioned something about what if Elvis had made it to the 80s.
Yeah.
It's been bothering me ever since. I can't stop thinking about it. Do you think...
I think he would have been in the Traveling Wilburys, first of all.
I was going to ask you, do you think he would be the fifth Wilbury, or would he bump Roy Orbison?
He would have bumped Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison would have not been in the Traveling Wilburys.
Ugh.
Right?
I finally got it out.
Because just think of it. Just picture, like, they're doing that song, like Handle Me With Care. It'd be like, I'm so tired of being lonely. Right? That'd be Elvis. I still have some love to give. Right? That's who you want. Look, I love Roy Orbison, but you wish you could hear Elvis do. Wouldn't that be cool if it was Elvis, right?
It would have been the best.
Won't you tell me that you really care? Right?
Yeah. I'm excited that you said the same thing I was going to say.
Yeah, he would have been the Traveling Wilburys. You also know that Elvis also would have, like, endorsed Reagan, probably.
Well, my next thing was that they'd probably do, like, Ford truck commercials.
Yeah, he also would have, imagine, like, a mid-80s era Elvis Presley album, like, production-wise. Imagine him with those Phil Collins drums, right? Imagine an Elvis Presley album with those Phil Collins, right? Because he always covered pop songs. Like he did, like Bridge Over Troubled Water and all these things. Like he would just do different songs. You know he would have done In the Air Tonight, right? There's no way Elvis doesn't cover In the Air Tonight if he stays alive.
Just got
well,
some darker.
I remember. Don't worry. It was the first time, the last time we ever met. And you hear, like, you know, he would have done Sledgehammer. He would have covered Sledgehammer, right?
Could the urban legend of him witnessing a drowning guy been about Elvis instead of Phil Collins?
No, that's just stupid. Best show. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
My name is Luke. I'm calling from Columbus.
Luke, Columbus. What's up in Columbus tonight, Luke?
Not too much. I've been listening to the show and getting some laundry done.
Nice.
And
what are you washing? Towels? You washing towels?
T-shirts.
T-shirts. Separate them? Colors? You separate the colors, you just throw them all in?
Do a load of colors and then a load of my black T-shirts.
All right. So what's up, bro?
So I've got a topic point for the topic.
For alternate realities, what do you got?
Yeah. What if Kevin Smith had never made Clerks?
Mm-hmm.
So he never had all the spinoffs, no podcasts, nothing like that.
Well, you know, what probably would have happened at one point is he probably would have call screened for the best show for about 3 weeks, and then I would have kicked him out. Right? Because he would have brought Jason Mewes by, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would have brought that other guy by. The one who always talks like this. Remember that guy from Clerks? Why are they doing it? What do you want?
Yeah.
Jersey Woody Allen.
What are you trying to say to me?
Ethan Suplee comes on for a while with Jason Lee.
No, Ethan, those guys are too famous. Those guys would be off doing their own thing. They ain't going to be in this guy's radar.
Maybe not.
Goodbye. Best show.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Who is this?
My name is Jake.
Jake, where are you calling from?
Brooklyn.
What's up in Brooklyn tonight, Jake?
I just got home recently and caught on to the show. And
welcome.
Wondering... Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, I caught on a long time ago, but I caught on to the topic, rather.
Ah, yes.
Ah, yes. And I am wondering 2 days ago if the world would be different without Star Wars.
Would the world be different without Star Wars?
Do we need Star Wars?
Well, right now we have it. And
yes.
We're heading into basically a Star Wars-based economy.
Right.
And at some point, Star Wars is literally going to become a church.
Good to know.
Right? Think about it.
Right.
There's no way. There's so many people who quote the Force in terms of like being a life philosophy now. And
right.
all that malarkey.
Yeah.
There's no way that there's not going to end up being some low-level church based around Star Wars.
I believe that's true. It has the makings of...
Yeah.
Do you think that we could have done better? We would have been okay without it.
Yeah.
The church may or may not last.
We'd be fine. We would have been fine without Star Wars.
Yeah.
What do you think Star Wars saved us from?
Nothing. I think it might have brought just general annoyance and distraction.
Look, you know what I think would have happened? If there was no Star Wars in 77, that clears the path for Smokey and the Bandit to be the biggest movie of the year. And then now we're looking at
prequels.
Smokey and the Bandit prequels. We're looking at the J.J. Abrams is rebooting Smokey and the Bandit now. And the final scene of the new Smokey and the Bandit episode 7 is whoever's playing the bandit climbs up a mountain and then finds Burt Reynolds waiting for him up there. Like a word, like Burt Reynolds in like a robe.
Right.
Yeah, drinking a Coors. That's the other thing. Smokey and the Bandit, it's all about Coors. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's what they're running, bro. That's what they're running. Coors.
Just through the Rockies there?
Well, no, they're getting it. They're bringing it east because you didn't have Coors east of the Rockies. Big Enos and Little Enos wanted it at this party. They wanted Coors because God knows that they couldn't replicate what they couldn't get their hands on any Schaefer or Michelob Light or whatever.
Sports
Swill would replicate Coors.
Yeah.
They really just need that refreshing taste of Coors. Can't get that anywhere else.
Right.
Well, what about cheap garbage beer? Oh, hey, look, we did get it somewhere else. In this can of Pabst Blue Ribbon. In Genesee.
I think Pabst Blue Ribbon has a higher alcohol content than Coors.
All right, look. That's one for the ages. I choose to let the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world sort the heady discussions like that out. But
yeah, that's true.
Smokey and the Bandit would have become Star Wars is what would have happened.
Okay.
If there was no Star Wars. And we'd now be looking at, there would have been 3 Smokey and the Bandit prequels that everyone would have hated.
Yeah.
A young bandit driving like the equivalent of the pod race, right?
Right.
The first time that Snowman, we'd see Snowman get like Fred as a puppy. right? See, like, a young Buford T. Justice get sent on his law and order path.
Yeah.
I wish that happened. I wish that. That would have been so much fun. Thanks for the call, bro. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
I'm Wyatt from L.A.
You're what?
My name is Wyatt from L.A., like okay. Wyatt Earp.
You sound like the land shark from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, from SNL.
What's that?
From Saturday Night Live.
Because you're talking, you're like, hello, yes, hi, it's me. It's Wyatt from Los Angeles. Candy Graham. Mrs. Valero. Candy Graham. That's what you sound like. Liven it up, Chief. What can I do for you?
I agree about it.
What can I do for you?
Well, I had one for the topic for alternate reality.
I can't handle this guy's voice. Drive me up the wall. Best show.
Hey. Hey, I've been on hold for a bit.
Yeah. You almost got hung up on for saying that, but I'm letting you go because you have been on hold for a while. What's up, Chief?
Oh, I just wanted to call in on the topic.
Yes. What's your name?
My name's Gus.
Gus. What's up, Gus?
Yeah. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
New York. Harlem.
Okay. All right. What's up tonight, Gus?
I just wanted to wonder what the comparison was between JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Huh? What's that mean now? I'm losing you here. The comparison between them? Oh, boy. Glad you waited on hold for all that time. Last call of the show. Best show. Welcome to the air.
Thank you, Tom. This is Carolyn in Brooklyn. How are you doing?
Carolyn in Brooklyn, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I've got a great alternate reality that I would love to run past.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right. What if the Hindenburg explosion had never happened?
Let's think this through. The Hindenburg. Now, you have to teach me on this because I'm not smart.
All right. Have you ever heard someone say the phrase, oh, the humanity?
Yes, I've heard that. So that would not be a part of our lexicon.
No, it wouldn't. But also, think about what a PR nightmare the Hindenburg was for blimp manufacturers. They were, like, right about to be what the airplane is today, and then the Hindenburg happened, and people heard it on the radio. They read about it in the paper, and it was, like, this mass media thing that scared people off of blimps for many, many years.
So you think that we were heading toward, like, a blimp-based transportation model?
I don't know for sure, but I believe that if alternate realities exist, then that one probably does.
Where we're just all flying around in blimps.
Yeah, can you imagine? Would it be great? Would it be stupid? Would it be everything in between?
There's no way that doesn't suck, flying in a blimp. Look, flying on an airplane's terrible. A blimp has to be so much worse. Because you don't
feel... Have you been in one?
No, and I never will be in a blimp. Have you been in a blimp? Are there any blimps that aren't like promo blimps? You ever see just a blimp flying around that doesn't have an ad on it?
No, but somebody's got to be in the blimp with the ad to fly it around.
Yeah, but are there any blimps that just are blimps? Like every airplane doesn't have a commercial on it.
Like, they have shipping blimps.
They're shipping blimps.
Yeah, they don't have passenger blimps.
There's no more blimp. So there's no blimp traveling. If I wanted to travel in a blimp, not available to me.
Not right now. Maybe one day, though.
I'd have to turn myself into, I'd have to Waldo Jeffers myself. Like in the Gift. Remember the Gift? The
no,
Velvet Underground
song?
No, not the movie, the Gift.
Oh.
That's all right. I didn't mean to snap at you. The song "The Gift" by the Velvet Underground. Remember that song? Boned, boned, no, boned, boned, no. Remember that one where it was like Waldo Jeffers and he was like, he packed himself in a box, and he like shipped himself. You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. You would have to ship yourself to get on a blimp today, I think.
I would, right?
You'd have to ship yourself in like building materials. I don't know if they carry a lot of stuff with these shipping blimps right now.
Okay, so I'd have to pack myself and be like,
Tom Sharpling packed himself in a box because he wanted to fly on blimp travel. He went to the post office and got his hands on a very large box, and he taped himself into the box. He left the box for the mailman to pick up and deliver him to California via blimp. He was inside the box waiting to go for blimp travel, and the blimp was very high in the sky, and he was a little nervous because it made so much noise, and he knew that all of the helium above him was very combustible and could explode at any given time. He was inside the blimp box.
Now,
keep it going, man. I think you're doing great.
Sorry, no. Mike told me to stop.
Mike
told me not funny. Killed it. Mike and his dad
told me
to stop doing that.
I tried to get my dad on the show earlier tonight, and he got tired and went to bed and gave up. But he's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So he's even 3 hours earlier than us.
Tell your daddy, tell him you're soft serve, Dad. You're soft serve. You're like a pile of vanilla soft serve ice cream. You're like somebody. It's like somebody went to a 16 handles and just tied a rubber band around one of the levers, and the yogurt started. Wouldn't you love to see that? What would happen if you just like jammed the lever into the thing and watch how much yogurt poured out of the thing? Wouldn't you want to see that once?
Yes, I would love to see it only once.
Just to see the, or even just going to a Froyo place, one of those self-serve. I gotta buy one. Look, I thought I would get into like, I thought if I had it all to do over again, I'd just buy a parking garage, right? Maybe the new version of that is one of these Froyo places where all you need are like 10 Froyo machines. You need a couple trays that have wet walnuts and some bubbles and some gummy
crushed
worms.
Oreos.
Yeah, crushed Oreos and gummy. Who's putting gummy worms on their Froyo, by the way? What
it
weirdo?
Seems like a waste of space.
Yeah, right. What weirdos putting gummy worms? Like the weird froze. They're gonna freeze up on you.
And some dummy who's gonna make you a millionaire if you ever open that Froyo place.
I gotta open
those
a
weirdos
Froyo.
Are the reason why they stay in business.
I gotta open a Froyo. That just mints money. That Froyo, right?
And you it's not even the Froyo you make money off of.
Yeah, exactly. You make it off because then they put the thing on the scale, the 980.
Yep.
980, 40 cents of ingredients. The lid probably costs more than the Froyo, right?
Yeah, it's very arbitrary, and there's no like international weights and measures for Froyo franchises.
Yeah. Like that's exactly. Are you sure that the scale's working on this? No, you accept it. Just like you accept when you pull into a parking garage and it goes, yeah, $45. Oh, okay. Here's my credit card. Like, if at a parking garage you just went, really, 45? I don't think so. I'll give you 15. Yeah, right. But this Froyo, I got to get into this Froyo field. Start selling Froyo. How did we get to that?
Yeah. Well, you got to open a franchise, and you also have to find an uncursed mini mall because there are so many cursed ones.
Yeah,
you got to be wary.
You know it's going under. You just see the place, and you know it's like, yeah, this place will be out of business. Doesn't matter what they could put in. They could be handing out free money, and it would go out of business. What if I had a Froyo place, with AP Mike, AP
oh,
Mike?
Man.
AP, what if it's called? What if it's called 102 Flavors? You have some weird number, right?
Yeah.
What if it's called
arbitrary number?
99 Toppings. AP Mike's 99 Toppings Froyo Hut, right?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think in the alternate universe, you'd open up a toppings place mm-hmm. where people had to get Froyo on top.
This is my luck. I think I'll open this Froyo place. I'll open this Froyo place with AP Mike. He'll be behind the counter. I'll just be coming in to collect the money. And I come in and there's just a body laying on the floor. what if there's like a Froyo outline of a body, right? Like, instead of chalk, he did it in Froyo. He's like, yeah, it's in the birthday cake Froyo flavor. Yeah, somebody died in here, and I traced his corpse out in Froyo.
Like Mike would do it to help the cops, like, before they got there.
Yeah.
You know, before they get there with the chalk. Like, let me give you this placeholder with our special flavor of the week birthday cake.
Yeah, but you know what he'd probably be doing, not to besmirch him, but he would probably, like, I'm not saying he'd be the criminal, but what he would do is create a false crime, which would help the criminals across town who are actually pulling off a bank robbery. He'd get the cops coming over saying there was a body at the thing, and then it would tie up their resources. That way all the cops are on one side of town, and then the bank robbery goes off seamlessly on the other side of town. And then they give Mike a cut. But then they'd probably kill him. Like, when he's like, I want my money! He'd be like Murray in Goodfellas. Come on, guys, everybody else is getting rich on this. Like, Mike would be like, I want my money. Come on, cut me. I did the thing with the Froyo. I had all the cops, I cleared a path. Then you hear, bun, dun, 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 and they open the Froyo locker. Dun, 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 dun. You see Mike's body in the Froyo locker, right? Frozen Mike. Then you see Dudio in a Cadillac under the bridge, right?
Eating ice cream instead of Froyo.
Yeah. No, he's dead. He's dead.
They're all dead?
They get them all. Right?
Oh, man.
Pat Byrne killed
That's
all
so
of
grim.
Us. Right? Pat would kill all of us. Then they go to Pat's house, try to straighten out. He's like, this gun doesn't fit. Why'd you bring this to me, stupid? He'll be in a robe screaming at, right? Did you know that that guy from that movie is the dude from Dirty Grandpa? Did you know that? That's the guy from Dirty Grandpa. He was in these other movies like that before Dirty Grandpa. He was in, like, a few decently reviewed movies. I think his name is now legally Dirty Grandpa.
Why are people surprised that Robert De Niro did Dirty Grandpa? I'm sure they gave him a giant publisher's clearinghouse check of money.
I would push someone in traffic, man, if I could get two lines in Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah.
You imagine you get a shot at being in Dirty Grandpa? Hey, you stepped on my foot. Like, that would be like some line like that. Hey, watch it. Watch it, Dirty Grandpa. Give me that. That's all I want. Well, Caroline, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say goodnight.
All right, goodnight.
Thank you for calling. You're always great.
Thank you for another great show.
Oh, why, thank you for listening to another great show. And you know when I'm saying that stuff, this show's untouchable, right? You know that.
Oh, straight up.
They can't come anywhere near this. Thanks, Caroline. All right, guys. Best show. We're going to end it. My, oh, my, oh, my. You have fun tonight, Mike? Oh, of course. He's a little too into it now. He's only doing this to make the other two guys hurt. It's like the experiment, the Milgram experiment. That's what that was. That was like an experiment when they're zapping each other. This guy's turning up the voltage on this. He's really going to fry on this next one. I got to fry him. He got two questions wrong. Fry him. You know what's creepy is that they, like, show that experiment. They're just like, This happened, and can you believe that happened? God knows what's going on tonight in some lab. Like, literally, tonight. There's some experiment that some sicko is doing that is probably being paid for by us in some way. And by us, I mean citizens for Ted Cruz. I think Ted's going to pull this out. And I'm sick of people saying it looks weird. I think he's handsome. I think he's the most handsome guy on the campaign trail. I think he looks like John Wayne. Bobbitt. No, but in some lab right now, there's some terrible experiment going on, and we're just all like 30 years from now, we'll be like, can you believe that happened? And then that night, something horrible will be happening. That's how it happened back in 2016. They did that stuff back then in 2035. It's the human condition, my friends. Never underestimate or overestimate the goodness or badness of humanity. And on that note, another best show in the books. I want to tell you all, again, go to the Facebook page. You get, I'm selling books up there. Money goes to the best show. Always do that. We're playing it dollar by dollar here, man. Every dollar. Because we're aiming for the weak points on these bums, right? Gonna hobble them all. One more than the next. Oh, yes, yes. Dudio wanted me to remind you all. There's a project going on here. If you are someone who would like to pull clips of your favorite best show moments over the entire history of the show, get in touch with Dudio. How can they get in touch with you? Jason@thebestshow.net. If this is something you would be interested in, you want to pull clips and put them for a larger thing we're doing here, all hands on deck. If you think you'd be into it, Jason@thebestshow.net. Drop him a line. He'll tell you more about it. And tomorrow and Thursday, Kristen Bartlett, right? Yeah. A.K.A. At Kristen Cheeks. You know her from Half Hour Power. She is Dudio's better half. We'll be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire tomorrow and Thursday. Figure out where that is. Check your local listings, as they say. And thanks to Islands, Nick Thorburn, and Islands for giving us the exclusive on these two awesome songs from their two awesome albums, which come out in May, Taste and Should I Remain Here at Sea. You can find out about them at Islands Are Forever. And The Best Show will be back next Tuesday. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later. Here is something from a band called Hierophants. Name of the album is Parallax Error. And we're going to hear a song called Stress. And this is on Goner Records. Oh, my God, Goner. It's one of the all-time best labels. Love it so much. Let's check this song out, and we will be back next week. Thanks for listening.